pepperoni on my face.
And we're live, pal.
Let it go. Let it go. Don't slam the door. I don't care. What to do. It's podcast time. We're going to talk to Showtime.
Grab his dick and twist it.
Twisted dick and sex appeal. Let the door craze go. I had 4 Bud Light seltzers already.
All right. We got a jam-packed show tonight. Eric Young.
I was going to leave Kevin with that intro. He sang the guests and everything.
Oh, go ahead.
Just sing the intro?
Sing the intro, Kevin.
I forget it. Matt, go ahead.
Oh, Jesus.
Live tonight on the Wizards Pod, we have Eric Young and Colin West from Synergy Wrestling.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Eddie Kingston, Jakar's Grand Champion, and you listen to my peoples at Shining Wizards Podcast, shiningwizards.com.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are rocketing toward the 500th episode of The Shining Wizards. But of course, we've got a pit stop tonight. The one and only Eric Young from Impact Wrestling. Colin West joining us from Synergy Pro Wrestling. And you're listening to The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling. I feel like I'm really loud.
You really are.
Matt.
Kevin's here, gonna sing the show. Every question's gonna be in the form of a song.
I like it. How you guys holding up?
Holding up?
Woo!
I guess okay.
It's a crazy world out there, Matt.
Yeah. A little allergies going on today, but we're hanging in there. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm fantastic. I jammed all the wrestling into about 16 hours between last night and today, so I am... Nice.
Sorry about that.
Doing that, Kevin.
Nice. Kevin's got the hot mic open. You got to turn the volume down, big guy.
I thought I put. All right, forget it. There you go. So,
Cole, you're gonna have to turn down the volume. Am I gonna man dog?
I really thought that once you put your phone on silent, that meant it silences everything. I guess that's not the case at all.
No, technology's still giving you a run for the money in 2020, huh, Kev?
Ah, it's got me beat. I'm looking at the lights, Matt. Looking at the lights.
The lights. Oh, no. Kevin's doing the J-O-B for the A-L-P-P-L-E.
Oh, that's right. iPhone 4, baby. The Elite.
Well, I did, I don't know if you've had a chance to check it out yet, the AEW watch-along last night outside in the wilderness. The crickets are great ambiance for when there's just silence.
No, it was fun. I listened to most of it live yesterday. I stopped just before you got to, you were just starting the women's tag match, and I was like, I need to save this for the morning. I can't listen to this tonight.
I'll tell you what, I give anyone a lot of credit if they do a live watch along and they haven't either watched the event or are watching it for the first time, because I was totally distracted, and the closed captioning on Hulu was atrocious. Just in case you were wondering, All Out will be September 59th. Whenever that is, according to who.
Yes, I did catch that.
That's a leap year. That's a leap month. 59 days.
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's an executive order that because we've lost so much time this year already, they're trying to make up for lost time by just adding extra weeks to September.
They're adding 19 days to the month now.
Just in time for the kids to get back to school. And they're adding 29 days, Kev. There's not 40 days in September.
Well, wait, 30 plus 19 would be 50. Oh, no, 49. You're right.
Tony, I like when you lean back, you disappear into HB Matt. I would like to thank whoever in the Discord. For some ungodly reason, if you're not in the Discord, you should be. Our AEW chat turned into a talk about pizza as to what is good pizza in terms of like Papa John's, Domino's, Pizza Hut.
And yeah, spiraled good franchise.
It completely spiraled out of control, and that, what you see behind Tony, was the end result, was somebody, I think Scotch Drinksmore, who was really quick to throw up the Shawn Michaels original, which I'm a little curious as to why he had it on hand.
Who doesn't?
I don't.
I do.
And then...
Wasn't the only thing in his hand.
Clearly. And then my wife was quick to throw my head and a giant slice of pepperoni pizza on the HBK body. Thus, you have that gem that now adores Tony's background. I hung up a sign.
I see that.
I hung up some pizza.
I see that. Very good. Very well done.
We can all see what you hung it on.
Hi-yo!
Man. All right. Well, we got a ton of wrestling to talk about. I know, Eric, you were going to call Eric Young in a couple minutes now.
Yes.
I just want to say Kevin and Tony had very good weekends in the picks.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we'll get into it after we talk to Eric Young. I ate my balls on SummerSlam hard. So hard.
Yep.
Things are starting to get closer. Kevin is slowly making his way back into the picture. Kevin made up a lot of ground.
Could have been better, man. Could have been better. If I just gone with my gut on a couple picks,
And we'll get into it after we talk to Eric Young. I'm very surprised that I don't want to pull it up because I don't want to crash anything. I know, Kevin, you took Cross, right?
No, I took Keith Lee.
I'm surprised both of you took Keith Lee. I thought we had this conversation a couple weeks ago where we thought Keith Lee was a transitional champion.
Well, that was one of the picks that I'm upset that I didn't go with my gut. But you know what I do now is I go to the odds and what people have, like Vegas, what the odds are. And I'm pretty sure that was close to even money or Lee was a favorite just because, I don't base my decision solely on it, but it helps guide me because Vegas is undefeated for the most part.
Did you use this tactic last year when you won?
No.
Why would you stray from your winning strategy, sir?
Because I'm a loser, and I've been freaking losing this entire year.
Listen, I'll let you guys in on my strategy. I wait for Kevin to make his picks, and then I just copy his picks fucking verbatim.
That's right. That's a coward's way out, and that's what Tony is.
You know, if it wasn't for the fucking Fiend, I would have been playing some fucking famous 1990s theme music this week, but alas, that didn't happen.
Who, One Foot Tornado?
No, but somebody who had a little series with the One-Footed Tornado.
I actually watched that this weekend, too. SummerSlam 1990. No idea why. Just put it on.
It was a SummerSlam kind of weekend, that's why.
That's right.
Was it? It didn't have a SummerSlam kind of weekend feel to it.
Sure it did.
I don't know, man.
Nah, Matt's right.
You guys didn't dig Thunderdome SummerSlam?
No, it's creepy.
We can definitely get into this before we call or after we talk to Eric Young. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about. AEW Dynamite was Saturday night, SummerSlam, NXT TakeOver. Obviously, we'll talk a little Impact with Eric Young. We're going to talk about some hockey. That's Kevin's writing Kevin's wheelhouse. I knew the Islanders. The Islanders are moving on in the playoffs, so that's pretty exciting.
Well, they're playing. They'll probably be dropping the puck in about 5 minutes.
Oh, so. All right. So
that means we're losing Kevin in 5 minutes.
Well, I've got no way to watch it down here. I'm in a basement, Tony.
Well, you got internet. You got a brand new laptop right there, sir.
Yeah, but no, you got to pay for it. You got to pay for the NHL TV package.
I thought it's not on regular TV.
Yeah, they should give you that shit for free after the fucking all the nonsense.
The first round is on the locals, like MSG will carry it, so I can watch it on MSG Go. But after that, it's all on the NBC networks. So NBC Sports, NBC, USA, CNBC, and you can watch it unless you pay for NHL.TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
At least I don't think. You better hope that we can't.
I'd say that's like for a sport that hasn't been around because of the pandemic and going into the playoffs, you'd think you would want as many eyes as possible on the product. That seems like a shitty deal.
I could be way off, but I tried and go to NHL.com and try to watch the games, and you just can't watch it. But anyway.
Enough of the malarkey. We're calling Showtime Eric Young, who'll be joining us on the hotline in just a matter of seconds.
Now we wait patiently. This is exciting.
I am excited, man. This is going to be fun. This is probably close to a bucket list guest for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you guys have been around for so long.
Yeah, we were supposed to have him a couple of years ago for Smash Wrestling.
Yeah.
And,
I actually saw him the Saturday before he was supposed to be on because he was on House of Glory, and I went after that show.
Can you try adding him from your end? For some reason, my side's not liking him.
All right. Let me just hit the button here. It says he's here.
Yeah, but for some reason, it's coming up as unavailable on my end. So, yeah, just try it from you. Sometimes I have a hard time adding people to the calls for some unknown reason.
Technology.
Nothing but the best.
Says he's unavailable.
Yeah, that's kind of what was happening to me. So maybe it wasn't my technology.
All right.
Maybe he's just getting ready. Maybe he's putting on his favorite Shining Wizards T-shirt, you know, combing the hair, brushing the teeth.
Does he have a Shining Wizards T-shirt?
A little flex in the mirror. I don't know.
EY?
Maybe.
No. No chance.
No chance. No chance.
No chance he has a Shining Wizards T-shirt?
Yeah. And when would we have ever given him one?
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah. Man.
I mean, know who we got to get in touch with, Matthew?
Who?
SCU. Because I gave them all three shirts, and I haven't seen Diddly Poo from SCU.
Really?
Oh, with the rhyming. I like
it.
Yeah. Huh.
A little buzz, Tony.
No shit.
So,
yeah, a little bit.
When did you give them T-shirts?
When they came to WrestlePro.
Phenomenal.
I think I picked them up from Tony's house. You left them on like the back door that I didn't know existed.
Back door.
All right. Let's not get canceled.
Canceled?
Who's going to cancel us?
Yeah, who's canceling us?
Papa John's.
Papa John's.
By the way, what was that pizza discussion, by the way?
It was just pretty much like, I forget even how it came up, but you know why it came up? Because Shaquille O'Neal was putting word out that he wanted to wrestle Jericho. He wants to wrestle somebody for an Impact Wrestling.
No, AEW Wrestling.
Oh, AEW, sorry. I got Eric Young on the mind. And then it all came up where I was like, this is stupid. He should just stick to selling his awful shakaroni pizza. And then that led into the entire discussion, like that Papa John's is awful. I kind of like Domino's. Pizza Hut's the best, you know, and it spiraled from there. So you can blame Shaquille O'Neal for that.
Papa John's is by far the best, by the way.
No, it's garbage, dude.
And I'll give you two reasons why.
You tell me those breadsticks. I'm going to throw a breadstick at you.
Garlic sauce. Baby, that garlic sauce that they give you with the jalapeno?
Yeah, but Domino's has a garlic sauce. Pizza Hut's got a fantastic garlic sauce, by the way. Oh, yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal's doing it right with that garlic sauce.
Shakaroni just looks awful. It's like, oh, there's pepperoni to the edge of the pizza, and it's an extra large pizza. Who gives a shit? It's a bigger pile of shit than you would normally order.
Now, you got a Little Caesars near you, don't you, Tony?
I got a Little Caesars, a Papa John's, a Domino's, and a Pizza Hut.
Well, people got to be fed in the mean streets of North Arlington. People got to eat.
And the ironic thing is none of them are in North Arlington proper. I think the closest one to me.
What are you, Baza?
What, proper?
Yeah, North Arlington, doesn't he say that all the time?
Does he?
Isn't that a British thing? Proper move or proper thing?
You know what I find myself doing a lot? Like when I ask somebody a question, I follow it up with yeah, which is a kind of a British thing, and I don't know where that came from.
I say, hey.
Like, I'll be like, you're watching wrestling, yeah? I'm like, why do I say that? It just became a habit. And
you know what's funny? As a bartender, whenever someone, when you ask somebody what they wanted to drink and they tell you what they want to drink, I always repeated it back to them. Like, I heard them. Like, I know exactly what they said, but I always repeated it back to them. So if someone says something as simple as Long Island iced tea, I'm like, Long Island iced tea? They're like, yep. I'm like, I heard you the first time say Long Island iced tea. I don't know why I ran it back. You can't confuse that with anything else.
I think what happens is you try to repeat it in your head. So this way you're not walking away. And then 2 seconds later, you're like, shit, what did he order? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I did that too.
Thing. It sticks in your head, I think.
Yeah, but it's just so weird. Like, I don't care that much. Like, no, like I would just ask him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because after you give him his drink, it's over with, you know?
Like, if I forgot, I'd be like, hey, man, what'd you order? Like, that's what I would do. Like,
are you a bartender that you go, like, another round and you know exactly what the people are ordering?
Yeah.
How do you remember that shit?
I don't know.
It's obvious. But, like, if somebody's got, like, you know, a mixed drink or something, like, how do you remember?
I don't know. You just do. It's weird because I can't remember anything else in the world, but I can remember a table's round of drinks and what they were drinking the entire time.
Yeah, but that's the whatchamacallit. That's the business you're in, you know?
Yeah. I was in. I miss it. I do miss bartending. Might have to dust off the old shakers and get back in it.
The shakers. You and I both know the bars that you tend at don't shake shit. It's all fucking beer and hard liquor, buddy, the way a bar should be.
Well, no, yeah, but when I was at the Rock Bottom, it was totally different.
Yeah, but the way a bar should be, there shouldn't be fucking, like, Malibu Bay Breezes and mojitos. You should be drinking beer or mixed cocktails, like Jack and Coke, right. Rum and Coke.
And I make a joke when I do comedy. I have a joke like where I say like this: I'm a bartender, but I'm really not, because the most complicated thing that we make has the names of the ingredients in it, so it's not that complicated. They're like, it's like vodka cranberry, Jack and Coke. They're like, can I get a martini? I'm like, yeah, you can. Down the street, it's called Brown Bear Pub. Go down there, that's where you can get your drink.
Oh, rest in peace, Brown Bear Pub.
Oh God, Greg reached out to me. Good to hear from old Gregski.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing right. Okay.
That's good. That's good.
That's good.
Oh.
That's where we had many. Where we had many.
Not working.
It is working. Mr. Eric Young, how are you, sir?
Holy fuck. I mean, 40 years on this planet, I thought I'd be able to work this computer by now. It's unbelievable.
9 years as a podcast, we figured we'd know how to work technology too. We're all in the same boat here.
I feel confident, and then I get on here, and then I'm like, ah, shit, I can't remember any of it.
I'm not going to lie. I saw you come back to Impact. No beard, shaved head. I love the look. It's just very shocking. That's not the Eric Young I'm used to.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally different. I mean, the truth is it was a decade of greatness, guys. I mean, I had a beard for 10 years, and in no way am I saying that I invented beards or was the first person to have a beard, but when I had one in 2009, look at the tape, nobody had a beard, especially in wrestling. Now, 3/4 of the guys on every roster in wrestling have beards. People that shouldn't have beards, so I decided I'm out.
Yeah, why is that? Like, what is the reasoning behind thinking a beard – like a shaved head and a beard makes you look like a better professional wrestler than something else.
Yeah, I don't know when that happened. I can say I grew my beard, I guess, end of 2009, start of 2010. The Preds, the Nashville Predators, were in a playoff run, and I said, I'm not shaving the beard until they lose. And it started to grow, and I had a dream that I was on set doing this wrestling promo, and I looked like a lunatic. And I was like, I'm just going to grow it as big and as crazy as I can. And I did. I mean, the truth is I did trim it. Even when it was at its biggest and craziest, I was trimming it. You never know that you're good at growing a beard until you grow one. And I was pretty good at growing a beard. And I mean, like, yes, there were beards in professional wrestling long before mine. But it definitely became too much of a normal thing. I grew it to look different. Very few people, if anyone, had one on television at that point. Everyone wants to say, oh, you copied Daniel Bryan. I'd love to copy Daniel Bryan. I mean, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. His wife is gorgeous. He makes beautiful children. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. If you want to compare me to him all you want, that's great, but you can look it up. I had a full beard before he even started growing one. So in no way, and I wasn't even watching WWE at that time. So, I mean, the truth was, it was, if I was copying anybody, it was Opie from Sons of Anarchy. That was very popular at the time. And I just wanted to look different. And at the time, nobody had a beard. So I grew one. Now everyone's got one. So I'm going the other way again.
Do you feel free without the beard? Because I only have it because my wife hates my face. So if I shave it, then I'm going to be in trouble.
I do feel this is way less work. I'll say that. A beard is a different kind of work, like where you got to like, okay, I'm 40. So, you know, I'm starting to get gray hair, and that's just not acceptable on television, in case you didn't know. So that's another reason for shaving it. But the biggest thing is like, look, I'm shaving my head because I'm losing my hair. And that's fine. I'm a man, and that's not a problem. And shaving the beard was just everyone had one. So I'm never trying to be like everybody else. That's kind of the way I've always been in life, and especially in wrestling. I'm obviously not the first person to have no facial hair and no hair. That's been done a million times. But this is the look that's available for me. But I also feel this look, it lends itself to the version of myself that I'm playing on television now.
And this is a weird way that I didn't expect to start the podcast talking about hair and beards and professional wrestling.
That's a professional manicure grooming podcast now.
That's absolutely. And it kind of makes sense because like you trigger a lot of old memories and questions about how like in the 80s and early 90s, it was long hair. Like if you could do it, long hair all the time. Is there something to the fact that maybe it helps you in terms of communicating in the ring, or is that urban legend? Is that a myth?
No, I mean, it definitely helps. If I could have long hair for when I wrestle, I would. Like whipping it back when you get hit, it adds a visual element to it. Having, you know, if you're working somebody that's not great, you know, you can hang it kind of in front of your face and let them punch your hair rather than punch your face, which is always a positive. trying to get my face punched the least amount of possible. But it is a tool. You mean, long hair can be used as a tool, can cover things. Can aid in the visual aspect of selling and showmanship and all that kind of stuff. I've never had very long hair, so I would imagine it's a giant pain in the ass. And now that I'm balding, there's just no chance, guys. It's passed me by.
Now, I feel like the shaving of the head is more inconvenience than trimming a beard, no? I can barely trim my beard without fucking it up and my wife calling me unnecessary names.
Yes.
I cannot imagine. Once I was like, I need to cut my hair, and I just like started shaving my head, and she was like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, what? Yeah, I look good. She's like, no, you missed the whole back.
Supremely groomed beards are difficult. These are things they don't teach you in grade school. You know, they don't pull you aside and tell you, like, once you grow a big, ferocious beard, like keeping it even and keeping it so it doesn't look like you live in the woods is hard work. You mean like it's, I mean, not hard work, but I mean, you have to upkeep shaving your head. I guess if shaving your head is considered work, it's work, but I do it a couple times a week just to keep it low. When I'm not on TV, which I'm not on, I'll be on TV every week for 8 weeks, but we don't work again for like 7 or 8 more weeks. So it's probably going to get pretty gnarly. To be completely honest, I'm not wrestling. I'm not doing anything. So, I'm basically unemployed for 8 weeks.
Now, look, the beard you said was because the Predators. Now, if the hockey playoffs are going on, you have a hockey podcast, Sticks and Stacks, available on iTunes and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. If the team you're rooting for in the playoffs starts winning, are you not going to shave your head and just let it go and see what happens?
So both of my teams are out, so I'm not going to have that problem.
All right. I'm going to cut you off, Eric. Cut you off because you mentioned something that I find curious, and I'm kind of with you. You said both your teams.
Yeah.
I'm a big hockey guy. I have no horse in the race here in the playoffs. Who are, I mean, Nashville obviously is one of them.
Yep.
Who's the other team?
Toronto Maple Leafs. I grew up in Canada. I grew up closer to Detroit than Toronto, but in my area, like where I grew up, my childhood, you were a Leafs fan or you were a Red Wings fan, you know? Sure, there was, you know, the odd exception. Like one of my very best friends was a Boston fan because he played goal and he loved Andy Moog. I'm really dating myself. Like, I mean, people are definitely watching this and that don't have any idea who that is. He hasn't played for the Bruins in like 30 years, yeah. But he was their goalie. He was unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, so me, I've been a Toronto Maple Leafs fan from birth. Now, a lot of hockey peers are like, oh, you got to have one team. I don't know who came up with those rules, but I can tell you that I don't care about what they say, and I'm certainly not friends with them. And I have never followed rules, and that's not a rule I'm going to follow. I love the NHL. I love professional hockey. I want the Preds to win every game. I want the Maple Leafs to win every game. And when they play each other, I win no matter what. But past that, I just want good hockey. I really don't care. Like, those are the teams I root for. Nashville is my home. This is where I choose to live. I can live anywhere in the world, basically anywhere, especially in North America. But I choose here because I love Nashville. I love the city. I do a bunch of stuff for the team. I do charitable events with them. I know a bunch of the players. I know a bunch of the coaches, ex-players, people that work at the arena. Like, that's my team. But past that, like, I mean, it doesn't matter. I've got 40 jerseys, and now I have like 35 hockey tank tops. So I love the NHL. I've been obsessed with it my whole life, and I will continue to be obsessed with it. And I'm not following your rules. I like them all.
No, it's fine because I'm in the same boat. I'm a New Jersey Devils fan, diehard. I have a weird little story too. We were talking about being a bartender. I was a bartender. A lot of the Devils would come into the bar that I worked because they practiced in my town, mm-hmm. In New Jersey, about 10 minutes outside the Prudential Center. So became good friends with guys like Marty Brodeur, Colin White, Paul Martin, all these guys. So it's funny. And I'm rooting for the Islanders because they have a defenseman named Andy Green who I'm tight with here. So I root for them because I have that kind of bond like you do. And with that being said, your two teams are and this is a wrestling podcast, but I'll talk hockey. I don't care. Your two teams are in a weird spot because the Maple Leafs are always there, but they add big stars all the time. But for some reason, they just can't seem to put it together. And with Nashville, with you got the arguably, I think, one of the greatest goalies ever, Pekka Rinne. And that's a situation that is a little dicey at this point. People are wondering about him. What are your take on the Leafs, you know, Tavares, all these guys and their situation and the situation with Nashville in goal?
I mean, for me, the Leafs are young enough. Like, I get, like, the city's imploding right now, fire everybody. This goes on every year there. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, hockey market. All the media is there. There's 100 to 200 people in the dressing room after every practice and every game. Like, it's insane. I mean, like, playing there has got to be difficult. You know what I mean? Especially most hockey players, they don't want to get recognized. They don't want to be in the limelight. They don't want to be interviewed. They just want to make their money and play hockey. And I could argue that, you know, being a wrestling fan, like, sports is as much entertainment as pro wrestling is. You know, it's, and if you want the sport to grow and you want to make more money, then people need to be interested in the players. The players and the players union, they don't seem to be interested in that at all. But to your question, the Toronto Maple Leafs are young. Like, they're still young. I find it hard to believe to have that core, that skill at your core, that they're not going to go on a run at some time, playoff run at some point during my life. But the reality is like, something's got to change. This is the second year, you know, well, they didn't even make the playoffs. Like, they didn't make it out of the playoff round. And if you've got your top line is $33 million, something's got to give. I mean, something's got to give. I said this all year, their defense was not good enough, not playoff caliber. Then they lose Jake Muzzin. Soon as he went down and they said he wasn't going to play, I knew it was over. It was over. He's the only one that's really interested in playing defense. And they coddled together the rest of the back end. So they've got to do something there, and they just got to get more difficult to play against. I'm 40, so I remember when hockey players were tough. You know, it was a very different game. I still enjoy the game, but it is different. But toughness is part of hockey and always will be, as long as it's full contact, intimidation and all that stuff. And I'm not talking about some guy that fights every game. That's gone. That's dead. But you got to have players that are difficult to play against, and they don't have any. They don't have any. Jake Muzzin is probably their hardest to play against, and he's not even a super physical player to begin with.
Thoughts on going to Nashville, John Hines, because he came from the Devils, and he was let go because, you know, we haven't made the playoffs since, I think, you know, with Taylor Hall won the MVP. Thoughts on John Hines as your head coach in Nashville?
Yeah, it seemed to be pretty decent. Like, I mean, I don't know what people expect when a coach comes in midseason like that. He doesn't know any of the players, doesn't know any of the personnel, doesn't know the city, doesn't know, like, you mean, like, I think about how discombobulating even spending 2 days in a city can be. Like, I don't know if I'm coming or going. I don't know where anything is. Like, on top of all that regular life stuff, he's trying to pull them into the playoffs, which they should have been in the playoffs.
Right.
They ran into Darcy Kemper. Arizona is not a good team, and I think we saw that in the first round of the playoffs. But Darcy Kemper was unreal, and they couldn't figure it out. Too much skill there to not score goals, and that seems to be an ongoing problem for them. But as far as John Hines, I think he did a really good job in kind of changing the trajectory of the team. And from what I know from some of the players and hearing interviews and paying attention, like crazy paying attention, like a psychopath to the game, the defensive structure has changed. He switched from man-to-man to zone, which is almost every team in the NHL now. People are too fast nowadays. You know, too much skill all the way through a lineup to do man-for-man, especially with your lower pairing defense and stuff like that. Like, those guys can't play that style. They have to play zone. They got to play zone. So I think Hines is going to be good. He's been a winner everywhere he's gone, basically, except for New Jersey. He's done very well. And I think there just was a very young team. And with Nashville, all the pieces are there. They've got to get consistent goaltending. Saros, I don't know. He's short. I mean, just... Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality. All other goalies are 6'2", 6'3". It just comes down to physics and, you know, I mean, geometry. Is like when he goes down, the top part of the net is open. He's short. I mean, like, they don't draft all tall goalies, and all tall people are pushed to goaltending because it's not an advantage. It's a massive advantage. So he played very well in the last bit of the season there.
And we're on the line with Eric Young, at the Eric Young on Twitter and Instagram. He also has a pro wrestling tee store, prowrestlingtees.com/Eric Young. And if you are a gambler, it is legal here in Jersey. So
it is not here in Tennessee. So I got a hockey gambling show, and I can't even do it myself. So,
But you guys can tune in. It's a 15-minute episode, Sticks and Stacks. Eric Young has been described in the small blurb as a hockey psycho. So if you're going to take betting advice from anyone, I would take it from a hockey psycho. I know you said both your teams are out. If you had to root, who are you pulling for in this playoffs?
I like Vegas at this point. I really like them. I haven't been surprised by Dallas's success either.
Really?
Following them very closely this year, like, they're so big and they can skate. And they're mean, and they're maybe the best defensive structure. They give up the lowest amount of chances. Both of their goalies are good. Dallas is going to be hard to beat. That's my two teams in the West. Everyone is on Colorado, but I just don't think they're experienced enough, to be honest. Dallas could have played in the Stanley Cup last year, and I think they have a very good chance to do that this year. I like the Flyers. I'm really rooting for Carolina, but they're out, so. I like the Flyers from the East, and I like Vegas from the West. But I think Dallas could end up being the team there.
And every Tuesday night, back on Impact.
And you had a guy like Pavelski who spent – oh.
So go ahead, Kev.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're talking about Dallas, and you had a guy like Pavelski who spent you know, a lot of his time in San Jose and then coming in, scoring a hat trick in one of the games. And you mentioned Vegas, and actually you mentioned Colorado, actually. That's who I meant. And did you think that they weren't good enough?
We're losing Kevin over there. Playing.
Poltergeist.
You froze over there, Kev. We missed your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was just a question about Colorado and if you felt this way even before knowing that Grubauer is now not going to be playing for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think their boys are pretty even. But I mean, for me, like, look, I love Kel McCarr. I wrote in the Fantasy Black Book at the start of this season, before the season started, saying if you're in a dynasty, if you're in a fantasy dynasty hockey pool, and you don't draft Kel McCarr in the first round, you're nuts. He's made me look really smart. It was mostly just a guess, but he's making me look really smart. They've got tons of skill. Nathan MacKinnon might be my favorite hockey player to watch, especially live. But yeah, I think Dallas is just, they're just too big, too rugged, too quick. I mean, quick and speed, and just their defensive structure is out of this world.
Fair enough.
Now, with all this craziness going on with COVID and everything and you going back to Impact Wrestling, what's that transformation been like? We see it with all the playoffs in sports, no fans, the different ways that they're piping in fan reactions and such. I mean, what's that like for you to go from, you know, working for the WWE and your whole career you've been wrestling in front of people to just being in an empty arena? How different is that for you?
Well, I can say as a guy that did, 6-7 years of independent wrestling, I've wrestled in front of very few people before. So that's not a problem. Wrestling in front of nobody, it stinks. There's no other way for me to say it. It's just not good. For Impact, we're wrestling in a small studio. It's affordable. It's convenient. It looks decent on television. You know, it's easy to shoot. It's easy to work. It's easy to do all those things. But wrestling in front of nobody is not a lot of fun. What I can say about it is I'm a very experiential person. Like, I want to experience kind of everything, good, bad, or indifferent. So I'm in a very unique place professionally right now for all of us that are working, you know, on TV, like whether it's WWE or it's ROH, it's AEW, it's Impact, where this is singular. You mean, well, I'm hoping it's singular. Like, I can say at a point I wrestled on a major pay-per-view in front of zero fans, you know, and that's not like, it's not like a boasting thing. It's not like, oh, it's a feather in my cap, look what I accomplished. But it is an experience that I think is singular. No other wrestling generation, you know, people that worked on TV full time have experienced anything like this. And I think you're seeing it with the Thunderdome and all that stuff. It's pushing technological advances. It's changing television. It's changing how we consume television. It's going to change the product in a lot of ways. And in my opinion, a lot of ways for the better. There's been years where you can just kind of rely on the crowd to make noise and make it seem like things are good when they're not. So this is bare bones. You know, your product better be noteworthy and something to talk about, or it's going to suffer for sure.
Did your return to Impact feel as much of a homecoming to you as it did to the people watching, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's homecoming in a way, but everyone's like, oh, you're going back to TNA. Well, TNA doesn't exist. It's gone. I mean, like that, I understand that Impact is using the lineage and the history of TNA, but TNA Wrestling, that chapter of the company is closed. And the truth is like, other than me and maybe two or three other people, it's all different people. I mean, it's owned by a different company. It's ran by a different group of people. It's written by a different group of people. It's airing on a different channel. There's nothing about it that is the same. So home in a way of, I have a huge history with the company, but all new in a way and for the better. You mean like this Access TV is in a ton of homes and it's a very accessible channel. And it's, you know, this is their second biggest television deal that Impact Wrestling or TNA Wrestling has ever had. And it's growing during a global pandemic, which is insane. I know wrestling fans don't understand. And like, you know, we're the, you know, Impact is the small wrestling promotion and it's definitely has the, you know, the lowest viewership and this, that, and the other, but business wise, it's growing And it's growing when nothing is growing. The WWE can do Thunderdome and all that other stuff. He didn't fire 300 people because they're growing. You know, he made money and the company made money, but the business as a whole for them is shrinking. AEW is losing money like crazy. Hopefully holding pat, but Impact Wrestling, even though it is on a small scale, it is moving forward during this time, which, you mean, like Scott D'Amore, Ed Norholm, and all the guys there, they need to be praised for what they got going on right now, because it is very singular.
Yeah, and we've talked about it the last couple of years with Impact. Just, you know, the storylines are always so great, and the talent that they bring in and that they focus on. I mean, Proud and Powerful, the reformation of LAX, Eddie Edwards was a huge get, Davey Richards. Impact is, it's the little engine that could, it flies under the radar, and then people tune in, and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's like, you've been missing out for the last couple of years, because it's great pay-per-view after great pay-per-view after great show. Storylines, they ebb and they flow, and you get introduced to a lot. The North and the Motor City Machine Guns is an awesome storyline. The stuff you did with Rich Swann a couple weeks ago, where he was announcing his retirement, it's just great stuff. And additions of the Good Brothers and Brian Myers and Chris Bay. I mean, it's a home run all around. I can speak for the three of us. We really enjoy what Impact is doing, and we're so happy to see you back there, because it just adds another layer to the foundation of Impact.
Yeah, it feels good for the soul to be back there, to be involved, to do, you know, what I mean, having one person decide that I'm not part of a show, that doesn't change my thoughts on what I have to offer. I've said this before, I'm sure you guys have read it, is Vince McMahon failed. He's a super genius, and wrestling exists the way it exists because of him. I live in this house and have this life because of what he's done. You know, he's got way more wins than he's got losses. I am not the first person he's made a mistake on. I will not be the last. But if you have a 3-hour television show, Monday Night Raw, and you can't find 5 minutes for me to do something, then you failed as a promoter. You failed as a booker. And trust me, nothing is written and nothing goes on the show without his approval. It's all him. So if there's something you like, you got to give him credit. Or something you don't like, then you got to blame him, because it's all him. All of it, every single second of every single show is decided by him. And he decided that whatever he decided on me, he decided very early on. And I wasn't able to change his mind. And that's fine. That's, that's business and that's the way it goes. But I would say it to him in person. I would say it to his face. He failed as a leader of that company. I'm proving myself right every week. Watch, you know, and there's no bitterness to it. Like I was very well taken care of there. I was very well paid. All the people that are there are super talented, you know, cream of the crop, best of the best production wise, show wise, everything. I mean, like it was an amazing experience. Not working on the shows was not amazing. Not being part of something wasn't amazing. But that's just the way it goes, man. Fate is a funny thing, and it wasn't meant for me to be there. And that's his loss and their loss. I don't hold any ill will towards them. My time in NXT was amazing. Triple H is one of the coolest bosses I've ever had. We are still friends and talk quite often still. It was a very, very special time in my career. The main roster run I could have done without, but you'll learn. You mean, like, you learn tons of stuff. And I can say that I worked there, which was a goal of mine my whole life since I was 3 years old. It didn't go as planned, but that has nothing to do with me. If, you know, anybody that's listening to this right now or reading the transcript or anything, if you think that me being in that position had anything to do with my skill and ability, then you're sadly mistaken. And this happens every day in every walk of life. Politics are strange, and no one knows why it happens, but it did. But you know, it allowed me to move on to Impact, which is, you know, I didn't know if there was going to be an opportunity. It was a scary time. I'm 40 years old. I've never been fired in my life. I've never lost a job. You know, I've never been unemployed ever in my life. So it was a scary time and a weird time because the coronavirus thing was, you know, compounding everything and making it really weird. But everything fell into place, and I'm back at Impact. And that roster, like you guys said, it's limitless potential. Yes, we are the underdog, and anyone that works there that doesn't think that, then you can point them in my direction, and I'll explain it to them. We are the underdog. You know what I mean? We are, you know, the third option, the small fish in the big pond. But that doesn't mean that it's not a special place to work. That doesn't mean that it can't grow and can't become something better. And that's something that I'm focused on. And that's always been my focus in wrestling. If the company I'm working for isn't doing well, then I'm not doing well. And you can really feel that in the group at Impact, is everyone's kind of pulling on the rope in the same direction, because it has to be that way. If it doesn't, it fails.
And you mentioned it's the third option. To me, it's my favorite watch of the week, to be honest with you. I'm so happy that I don't get access, but I discovered it on Twitch. So I watch it on Twitch every week, which is fantastic. It's so user friendly, for lack of a better term. But let me ask you this real quick. For someone who's made so much money doing things like Vince McMahon, how could someone like him get it so wrong, yet people at Impact see what could have been you? How does that work? How can you get in someone's mind like that, where you're so valuable one place but not super valuable somewhere else?
Yeah, the reality is like, brother's got a lot on his plate. You mean, like, I can't imagine. I'll say, like, he's a tireless worker, someone that's, I don't know what he is, 74, 75 years old. Like, he's a machine. He's an absolute machine. And like I said, like, I don't hold any ill will towards him at all. Anytime we spoke, he was very respectful to me. He was very complimentary of my work at different times during my run there, which was interesting to me. but he would say it to me and to other people that work there that, you know, he really liked me. I wish he would have shown that a little bit more. But in the end is, like I said earlier, and I've said this in other interviews, I am not the first person he's missed on. You know what I mean? Like, he's missed on time. Kenny Omega was there for 6 months. 6 months.
Yep.
And never was on TV, never did anything. And he was gone. He's considered one of the best in-ring performers of our generation. He couldn't last a year. So, I mean, like, look, it's just the way the business is. I don't think it will ever change. As far as him, I do feel that the age, the lifestyle, like, how can you ever expect him to be a regular person and understand what regular people want to see? He's not a regular person. He flies around in private jets, talks to the same 10 people, stays in private hotels, just drives to and from the building in a private car. Like, he has no access or touch with the outside world. He lives in his own world, which he's earned. But I mean, as far as a person controlling an entire, I don't know what you call it, empire. I mean, like, all of it, it all goes through him. And he's got way more wins than he's got losses. They're making money hand over fist. The Thunderdome looks absolutely amazing. Like, I knew that it would. Like, he's reinventing television again. But yeah, I mean, it's just a mistake. You mean? And I would tell him to his face that he made a mistake. And I'm, you know, every Tuesday I'm showing that I'm right and he was wrong. And there was never a single doubt in my mind that if I went somewhere else, that's what people would say. That's the over glaring thing of the whole situation. He was wrong. I was right.
And a little update, the Islanders are up 1-0 with about 5 minutes left in the first period here. So are you? He's got it on, my guy.
You're much better at
psycho. That's not just a gimmick. That's the real life.
Well, Impact Emergence Night 2 takes place Tuesday night, August 25th at 8:00 on Axis and Twitch. Eddie Edwards has the open challenge. You, as of the moment, have not been announced doing anything. I know you and Eddie aren't seeing eye to eye. Is there a chance we might see a little Eric Young, Eddie Edwards running maybe tomorrow night?
I mean, pro wrestling's a crazy place, guys. You know, it's a crazy world. And I mean, I think I made it very clear what my intentions were when I first got the Impact. I stepped into the five-way and said, like, I mean, the truth is, as I look at it, is that's my world title. It belongs to me. That's how I look at it. Eddie's holding it right now, and we are on a collision course. that's, you know, that's what Eric Young, the character on the television show, would say. Eric Young, real life Eric Young, is pumped, man. Like, Eddie is a guy that we worked a little bit together when I was here before, and some tag and couple tags and stuff like that, but we never did any singles. He's the heartbeat of that company. I mean, like, he is the heartbeat, the heart and soul of Impact Wrestling. And I'm pumped to get my hands on him. And I think he would probably say the same thing. We got some really cool stuff coming.
Nice.
I know we're up against it, and we're going to let you go soon, but real quick,
no rush.
Awesome.
Yep.
So you mentioned how TNA is not Impact, but I mean, there's a lot of people that listen to the show that love TNA.
Sure. Me included.
Absolutely loved it. And one of my favorite, groups was the Team Canada stuff. It was like so involved in so many different things on high levels. Can you reminisce a little bit about your time as part of that group with guys who I'm sure you're still like Bobby Roode, Johnny Devine, A1, and of course Scott D'Amore. Can you just reminisce and tell what that time kind of meant to you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's formative. You mean like it's those were, you know, four or five of my best friends in the business. I'm still friends with all of them today. I talk to Bobby Roode weekly. I talk to Scott D'Amore weekly. We've always stayed in contact. I talk to Johnny every now and then, talk to A1 every now and then, talk to PD every now and then. I can say going there and being in that group, it's kind of like a dream come true. You know what I mean? Like when you first start, for me, I didn't care what I did. I mean, I just wanted, my goal when I started training in professional wrestling was sign that contract saying that this is what I do for a living. And I never considered myself a professional wrestler before 2004 because I did it as a hobby, you know, and independent wrestling was definitely a thing, not like it is now. There definitely wasn't as many. It was harder to work consistently, especially if you wanted to work on good shows. But for me, like my number one goal was to sign a contract saying, I don't have a job. This is my job. This is what I do for a living. And in 2004, that happened for the first time. When we were doing Team Canada, our first contract was for four shows, and it was just for the World X Cup. Now, I don't know what Canada ever did to the United States, but they hated us. Like, just people hated us. And I was like, man, we're polite, like, we're good at hockey, we make excellent beer, maple syrup is pretty decent. Like, I don't know what Canada ever did to the United States, but they hated our guts. I mean, and like we leaned into it for sure. You know, we were the heels and we provoked people and stuff, but it got over more than I think they were ready for. And they couldn't deny it and ended up signing the whole group full time after the World X Cup. That was not the plan. World X Cup went so well for us and we had such good heat and we all kind of had our moment, you know, in the World X Cup. Mine was a three-way ladder match with Jerry Lynn and a guy, I don't know, it was a four-way. Was it Abyss Montenegro and I can't remember the guy from Team Japan. It's a long time ago. But anyways, it was a four-way ladder match, and I won that match and kind of stuck out in that match, and I feel like that was a big part of me getting hired. But Team Canada was, you know, it was an awesome run, working with four or five of your best friends every day, and guys that are all super talented that you could trust and lean on is that's tough to pass up for sure. It was an excellent time in my career.
You said you grew up in Canada, but closer to Detroit, and obviously you said the Maple Leafs. So is the Maple Leaf Garden a place you would go for wrestling, or did you have to cross over to the States to see wrestling? And how big is that? Because we're in Jersey, so Madison Square Garden was our hub, and we're all about the same age. So we know the importance of Madison Square Garden, but I know in Canada the Maple Leaf Garden was the place for, you know, the WWF. Did you get opportunities to go see the WWF there back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, Maple Leaf Gardens was, I mean, it was a mecca for me in many ways. One, that's where the Maple Leafs played at that point before they moved to Air Canada Center. And Maple Leaf Gardens was always a wrestling hub, you know, maybe the number one wrestling building in Ontario, in Canada, probably. So the sad truth is I never saw wrestling there, never once. I saw WrestleMania 18 at Sky Dome, and I would see the WWE house shows when they would come around locally to Chatham, Ontario, and just do like a house show once a year. That was rig. We couldn't afford. I mean, Toronto was almost 5 hours from where I lived. It's a very expensive city. My family was, we weren't poor by any means, but you know, going down there to watch wrestling was just not in the financial preview for us. Going into Detroit was something that would have been easier, but I didn't really do that either. I was in the crowd for WrestleMania 3, but I was so young that it was like I didn't even really know how big it was. And like my dad got lost and we showed up late, and like we were so high up, like you'd have to listen to the music to be able to tell who was coming out. I was like, oh, I think that's Honky Tonk Man. I can't see because he's too far away. But
so did you miss Hillbilly Jim and King Kong Bundy with the Sky Low Low? And those, did you miss that match?
I think we actually got there about halfway through the show. And I can't remember what was in the ring when we got, I mean, like I said, it's a long time ago. I can't remember what was in the ring, but I know I didn't miss Macho Man and Ricky the Dragon. That was the beginning of like the bug for me, watching those guys work. And like, even though we were so high up, being so wrapped up in it and what was going on, that was kind of like, man, that would be really cool to do. I don't think that was really the time where I said, okay, I'm going to be a pro wrestler. But I thought of lots of other things. I would have loved to play hockey, but I was a rotten hockey player. I figured that out going into the ninth grade. And then like eighth, ninth grade, me and my buddy started wrestling. We started doing backyard wrestling. Then we started like doing shows for local kids. And then that progressed into like we were raising money for the Optimus Club. And we ended up getting on TV, our local cable. And we did a show in a town of a population of about 170 people. We had 760 paid to watch high school kids bounce around on a trampoline and do backyard wrestling. So that was once I wrestled in front of a crowd for the first time. That was it, man. I was done.
And it's so funny. You mentioned like you wonder why people in the United States hate Canada because you're such nice people. And New Jersey has like this weird reputation of being like the not nicest people. But I had this unhealthy obsession with Canada. Loved it. I brought like a Canadian flag to SummerSlam 97 with Bret Hart. I did. I was almost on that Wrestling with Shadows documentary. I was interviewed, but didn't get on it. So I know you live in Nashville now. You made that your home. Yeah. Is wrestling in Canada, has it been affected by the coronavirus the way that the United States has? We're starting to get back shows. I just worked a show on Saturday, so we're starting to get back there. Has Canada felt the same? Are the independents still thriving in Canada?
No, it's the same as here. They're all shut down. All the same kind of rules. For there, like I know as an American, like I can't even go there, even if I wanted to. I could go, but I would have to quarantine for like a certain amount of days. And then if I come back, I got to do the same. So it's just, you know, financially, it doesn't make sense for them to be doing shows even when they can. I think I've got my first, I'm doing an autograph signing this weekend, if it doesn't get canceled. And then my first show will be in Georgia on the 12th of September. I will be my first independent in almost 5 years.
Wow.
Now, how are you comfortable with, are you going to fly or do you have to drive down to Georgia?
Drive. Yeah. It's only about 4 hours from here. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Are you excited for your first indie show?
No. In a while? No.
At least you're honest.
People will be far away. It'll be weird. I think it's outside. Independent wrestling and me have a love-hate relationship for sure. There's times when you'll show up and the show's amazing. You know, like the place is packed. The promoter does a great job. You know, you work somebody that knows what they're doing. And it's like, that's what I love about pro wrestling. And then there's other times where it's January and I'm standing by a burn barrel because I don't want to get frostbite. The guy I'm wrestling owns the company and he doesn't know what he's doing. And I've got to wrestle him and get beat by him because he's the one paying me. So it can be a miserable, miserable existence. That's just my opinion. There is times when it's great, but those are few and far between, I think.
You mentioned doing independent wrestling when you started in Canada. Did you ever take any of those nightmarish trips where you have to drive over the frozen tundra at like 3 o'clock in the morning and just pray to whatever you believe in that the ice does not give way?
Yeah, those I never did any of the Northern Hell Tours, as they're so kindly nicknamed, Northern Hell Tours. They were actually not running when I was there. And then shortly after I moved down to Nashville to start working for TNA, they started doing them again. So there was like a brief, like 4 or 5 year window where no one was doing those shows. So I didn't do those, but I've wrestled all over the place. I mean, almost 8 years of independent wrestling, and it wouldn't be weird for me as a Canadian to be, you know, like Friday, take the day off work, wake up, drive 8 hours in one direction, do the show, make $40, drive 8 hours back to my house, because now the show the next day is the other way and it's 10 hours. So it's 10 hours Saturday, wrestle the show, 10 hours back, or sleep in the car and then drive to the next thing, or 8 guys get together and get one hotel room because no one has money. So I can say I look back at my independent time very fondly. I loved it. I love the challenge of no one knowing who you are, and not having the television character for them to be acquainted with you. You're teaching them from the time you come out to the second you lock up, to the second the finish happens, is you're educating that crowd of who you are and what you're about. And you've only got that window. Independent wrestling can eat you alive. I mean, it can really eat you alive. But yeah, I mean, I did a ton of it all over the place. The Northern Hell Tours, I somehow dodged that bullet, but I've got lots of hell stories anyways.
Kevin mentioned his affinity with Canada, and we love Bret Hart. Have you ever been to the Hart House?
No, I have not been to the Hart House. I trained at an offshoot of the Hart Brothers school that ran in Ontario. So a guy that lived there, the Hart Brothers school closed in 95 or 96. I think Johnny Devine was like one of the last students to come out of there. And I think they did a little bit after that, but it was just kind of like thrown together to make some money on the side kind of thing. But the Hart Brothers name was sold by Smith Hart to this other guy. He moved to Ontario and opened the gym. Now, that guy was a bit of a con man and took a bunch of people's money, including mine. But I did get good training. Carl LeDuc, he's the French guy that yeah. Stu Hart is absolutely beating the shit out of him in the dungeon. He's screaming, my arm, I can't feel my arms, because everything's paralyzed because he's French. But he, that's who trained me. He did most of the in-ring stuff, and like I did some stuff with Scott very early on. Waldo Von Erich, who worked for Vince McMahon Sr., WWF, still I think holds the record for the longest match in Madison Square Garden history, 93 minutes with Bruno Sammartino. He did a lot of like the psychology and storytelling. He couldn't really get in the ring. He was pretty old even when I was there in 97. But yeah, I ended up getting really good training out of there. And then that place kind of fell apart, and I went off on my own and started working all over the place.
I'm going to switch gears for a second. When you showed up with Impact at the same time as a lot of guys that were let go from WWE, the good, Anderson, Gallows, EC3, Brian Myers, out of that group, and maybe all of them, is there anyone that just, like yourself, that WWE completely truly missed the boat with? Is it one of them? Is it all of them? How do you feel about those guys that Impact brought in with you?
Yeah, I mean, in one way or another, they missed the boat on all of it. And like, look, there's only so much TV time, and you know, decisions have got to be made, and things happen. But I mean, I think the Good Brothers have proven like they're one of the most popular tag teams in the world, like in the entire world, and they're also showing huge personalities. Funny, very good on the mic, understand wrestling inside and out, and were not, you know, really showcased there. A little bit, I think, when they started, but over time, they fell out of favor. Brian Myers is unbelievable, like he's saying, the most professional wrestler. He might be the most professional I have ever dealt with. I mean, he can work any style, work anybody. EC3, obviously crazy talented, just on his mind alone, you know, and his ability to make you interested in what he's doing, which is a massive skill at any level of wrestling. But especially like where we're at now, like people are interested in what he's going to say and what he's going to do next, where he's going to go, how he's going to show up. So, I mean, like there's tons of guys that they missed the boat on. You mean like I said, I'm not the first person. I'm not the only person. I won't be the last. There'll be plenty of other people that go there and don't get a fair shake.
When you look up and down that Impact roster, who is somebody that makes your mouth water that you want to work with? The Ace Austins, the Desmond Xaviers, the Trey Miguels. Who does Eric Young like, I got to work with this kid before I hang up these boots?
Yeah, all the guys that you mentioned, you mean, are incredible. Rich Swann, obviously, you know, we're starting, you know, to work together and do some stuff. Hopefully that can pan out into something very special. A guy that I wanted to work with at NXT. We did a little bit of stuff. We did work, I think, the pre-show for the Toronto NXT TakeOver. I want to say it was him and maybe him and Jose. I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, Ace Austin and Trey, I mean, what little exposure I had to him in that match, like the word I just keep using, I keep going back to is it's limitless potential. And now it's potential because, I mean, like a lot of these guys are learning how to work on TV. Wrestling and wrestling on TV are two different things. I think, you know, as a wrestler, you go to an indie show, I think I'm pretty good, but I understand TV wrestling, which is why I've had a job on television for over 16 years. It's two different things. Learning how to do it and pull back and give when the time is right. And just learning how to make yourself look good and the other guy look good, how to line up, what corner to go to, what side to fall out on, where to do the dive. Like, these are all things that these guys are learning. And they're hungry to learn. You mean, like, they're, you know, guys have asked me, hey, can you watch? And I'm never going to tell anybody what to do, because in the end, pro wrestling is art. It is subjective. And you got to do what you believe. You know what I mean? Like, for me, the most important thing is if you don't believe what you're doing, it becomes transparent and wrestling fans can see right through it. So you just got to believe what you're doing. I'm going, you know, there was a bunch of stuff in that five-way they kind of had planned out. And I said, well, what if you did this or what if you did that? And it was like, I feel like a little bit for Ace and Trey, it was kind of like a light bulb moment a couple of times of things I said. They're like, oh yeah, that does make sense. And it's the saying, it's like, you can't know what you don't know. I didn't know when I first started wrestling on TV until someone said it, or they said, hey, don't do this, do this, do it this way. Because, you know, if you do it this way, your back's to the camera and that's where the audience is. So there's all kinds of things that you got to learn. But for me, it's like, I mean, I could wrestle someone different for the next 10 months, you know, guys I've never wrestled with. And there's tons of cool matchups, tons of cool styles that I think can vibe really well with mine. But yeah, I mean, Ace Austin is going to be a star. Trey is going to be a star. Rich Swann already is a star, in my opinion, and is one of the very, very underrated performers in wrestling right now.
And you mentioned 16 years in the business, and you were in NXT and WWE, and they have an amazing women's division. And something that I think flies under the radar that we talk about all the time, the women of Impact are, if not on the same level, they're right there. I mean, what an amazing roster of women. When you walk into that locker room, I mean, what's that like, just knowing that, like, man, these women can do just as much, if not as much, as us in the ring?
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive part of wrestling. You know what I mean, it's that they've earned having a huge spotlight on them. They've you know, the women in WWE and in NXT and TNA for the last 10 years, they've done all the work. You mean to put women's wrestling in a position like this, where it's not unheard of for men and women to be wrestling each other, and that's a huge part of independent wrestling and a huge part of professional wrestling now. And it's art. It's all subjective. And being the roster there is so strong, it's like there's no weak part of the show. You mean, like, it's as long as everyone works hard and does what they're supposed to do, Impact Wrestling is going to be successful, because it can't fail. That's just what I believe.
Yeah, I think we're all in this. We're really enjoying everything that Impact's doing. And tomorrow night, Emergence Night 2, Deonna Purrazzo, Jordan Grace, 30-minute Iron Man match for the Impact Knockouts title. Eddie Edwards defends his title. EC3 explains why he stole the title. Brian Myers and Willie Mack are going to go one-on-one. Wrestle House, Eric Young, any interest in Wrestle House? Can we see you in the house with all those crazy characters?
Yeah, I feel in my current version, I don't think that would go very well for most of the people in there. So I'm probably not going to be part of Wrestle House. I think I would have loved to have been part of Wrestle House. There's several versions of Eric Young that could have done very well at Wrestle House. But it's a cool way for people to get screen time. I mean, and show another layer. And I think Cody Deaner and Jake Something have really shown something. You know, like they're guys that are, they're over. You mean they're solid baby faces, but they're showing this other dimension of character where like you root for people like that. You know, I think Rosemary is showing what she's shown from day one, and she's an absolutely nauseating, gifted performer, whether it's wrestling or talking, character development. Like she is ridiculous, you know, like on another level. But yeah, it's cool. People are getting a chance to show a different version of themselves. Plus it's, you mean like a 2-hour show, there's only so much time. So having something like that is a good way to kind of put a spotlight on a bunch of people at once, give them some screen time, put them in a different light, allow you to get to know them, them and their characters a little bit more. So yeah, I think it's been a success from what I understand. It's rated very well. And I think it's just because it's different. I mean, like nobody wants to just see two guys beating the hell out of each other every second of every day. You know what I mean? Like that's not fun either. Pro wrestling is the ultimate variety show. And that is a very distinct version of what a variety show can be.
Well, I think this has been a huge success for us, and I hope you enjoyed yourself. At the Eric Young on Twitter and Instagram, prowrestlingtees.com/Eric Young if you're looking to pick up some Eric Young merchandise. And, of course, if you're looking to play some bets here in Jersey and you want to hear from the hockey psycho himself, Sticks and Stacks, they also do baseball picks as well. It's 15 minutes. It's, you know, your car ride to if you're going to work. I don't know if people are still going to work, but whatever. 15 minutes, you get your bets in, you win your money, you buy some Eric Young merch, everybody wins. It's a great time. Eric, anything before we let you go that you want to let the fans know?
Oh, appreciate it, guys. Please, you know, if you're listening to this and maybe you were a TNA fan and you were put off by it or you haven't watched Impact, there's like they were saying, you can watch it on Twitch. It's free. Look at that's. That's where we're all, that's where television's going, guys. You know, like it's, that's where it's all heading. So might as well get used to it. Access TV is the other place to watch it. Impact Wrestling, I feel like we're doing some pretty cool stuff. I think it's the best pro wrestling show right now. And I just don't think it's arguable. I'm there, yes. And I'm going to talk about it. But I think this podcast is showing I'm pretty honest in my assessment of what's going on. I'm a wrestling fan. I've been a wrestling fan since I was 3. If I had to pick one show, I'm picking Impact because it's the best pro wrestling show.
I couldn't agree more.
Eric, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys. It was fun.
Enjoy the rest of your night. Good luck with the hockey.
Yep.
Let that hair grow back. Just, you know, get in that run, man.
Can't do it.
What if you...
I'm bald. It would look funny.
He can't look any funnier than me. I don't know if you saw the dumb picture Tony had up before. My wife put my head and a giant slice of pizza over the Shawn Michaels thing. So that's how my day's been going.
I can tell you if I tried to grow my hair out, I would look much funnier than you.
There we go. Look at that. Delicious.
It's over. It's over, guys. I lost the war. It's okay.
Listen, you totally redeemed yourself here. So we appreciate it very much, Eric Young. Thank you so much. Okay. This was awesome night.
Thanks, boys. See you guys.
See ya. Eric Young at the Eric Young on Twitter and IG. Make sure you give him a follow. ProWrestlingTees.com/Eric Young. We are going to take a short commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some SummerSlam. We're going to talk some NXT TakeOver. We're going to talk Dynamite. We got Colin West calling in for a couple minutes, literally a couple minutes, because we went long. with Eric Young. But he was good with it. So yeah. We are rocking and rolling. For those in the hot mic, keep up the chats. Yes, Kate, we know he dropped the Bruno fact. Awful. So bad. Tony spoke about as much as I do during the Pat Buck interviews. So it's nice to see that That happened. What's up with that? Cat got your tongue over there, buddy?
If you and Kevin are doing a great job with the questions, there's no, you know, I'm an attorney, right? Like, I don't think that's any big secret.
Whoa!
And a lot of times when there's a deposition or there's a line of questioning, if things are going well, there's no need to hear from every single person in the room. You let it go. If there's something you want to jump in on, it's fine. But otherwise, you just let whoever's in control have at it. I think when I'm quiet, that means you guys are doing a hell of a job. You've got everything covered. All the bases are, you know, I guess covered again. I say that. And everything was fine. So,
covered like a piece of pizza, unmatched junk.
I wish this was real because I would just kind of like turn around and just like, while I'm waiting, you know.
Yeah, just did it.
I know. I got to make sure because it's like on a different side. Like when I look at it, I turn this way, but it's not. It's like Matt. I could go like lean in and give him a kiss.
That's right.
But I'd rather eat the pepperoni.
Eat my pepperoni nipples.
Yes. No, I just want to eat your pepperoni. I don't care about your nipples. I'm not a nipple guy.
Well, thanks. Let's take a commercial break, and then we'll come back and do some more bullshit.
Of course. We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Hold the moment. Time. Like tears.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Let me tell you something, brother. Slickster's talking at you, Daddy. And if you want to support the Shining Wizards, head on over to Patreon and spend a couple of dollars, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey, Tony.
What's up, Kevin?
Turn the lights out. The party's over.
Love that. That could have been the greatest manager line ever. Ever. I used to love when he would look into the camera and like Butch Reed was ready to finish somebody off, or Akeem and the Boss Man. Good shit from the Slickster. And you know what's good shit? Supporting us on patreon.com/wizardspodcast or Shining Wizards or some shit like that. Anyway, for as little as $1, you will become a Patreon producer and your name will be mentioned each and every week on the show. But we got more than that. Kick up a couple more ducats. You get the watch-alongs. You get the exclusive codes for pro wrestling tees. You might even get boxes of wizardry. We will plug your shit. Head on over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Get all your information over there and join us. Join us each and every week. Just like these fine people join us each and every week. It's our Patreon producers. We're going to start with Kathy Hummer, the Queen of the Wizards. Manny Crozzo, the King of the Shining Wizards. The AOP of the SWP. Anthony and Danny, the Russinellos. Brian Arthur, old sleepy guy himself. I don't even know what the hell to call him. He's got a brewery. It's called the Elementary Brewing Company. It's A-L-E-mentary. Not alimentary or not elementary. It's not an element. It's an ailment. That didn't sound right. But anyway,
it's a sickness.
If you're in Hackensack, get cured of your sickness by popping in and saying hi to Ryan. Get yourself some brewskis. You don't even have to stay. You can grab that shit and go. It's awesome. We got two Seans that live across the world from each other, but they're bonded by a single name. Spelled exactly the same, by the way. Sean Toe and Sean Kaleo. Brett Simonello is also there.
What do you know? What do you say?
Close enough. I'll take it. Kate the Great Hensler on On Deck IC. You got anything? It don't even have to be shit. It could be a championship belt. You want to let everybody know that you're the champion. Can you beat that?
She's not. Oh, she's a hack.
She's your lady. She's got experience in that department too, by the way. We got two Matts. We got Matt Garifo, no relation to the KJG. We got Matt Mellinger, definitely no relation to the KJG. We got the other sign girl, Miss Christine Friesendorf. We got Mark Parlini celebrating a fucking birthday this week.
They say happy it's your birthday.
Mark, hearing us plug your birthday. Mitchell Scotch drinks more. Kenny Hawsey also. Big Copper Pump, Jay Cop, the greatest thing on the turnbuckle throwbacks. Mr. Motzbach himself, Thomas Copps. Mr. Michael Hammond. Mr. David Henry Bauer. Check out his buddy Antonio Hosterman with his experimental music over at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. We got Matthew Birch joining us. We got TJ Vegas. We got our newest Patreon producer, Richard Baudreau. He's over at ProWrestlingSlam.net. Follow them on Twitter at PW_Slam. I was checking out the website this past week. It's some good shit. It's all the news and reviews that you need in your pro wrestling life. And last, and certainly not least, make sure I got the fucking music off, because I want to give the floor to William, Mr. William.
Lives are gonna be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean, Kevin?
I do know what you mean, Kevin.
This used to be John Cena, and you can't see him anymore. You
love them ice cream gimmicks.
How many of those do you have?
Excuse me. I haven't had them in a couple of weeks. I only had a couple left up there. There's only one more now, but this was John Cena and the Macho Man. Deliciousness.
All right, Colin West is going to call us in 15 minutes, so let's talk NXT TakeOver 30.
Oh, baby.
All right. I think let's go right off the bat. I'm going to say this. The biggest brand that it hurts that there's no crowd is NXT. Not saying it wasn't a bad show, but, man, the fucking NXT crowds, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better crowd. And I think, like, the show was excellent. The wrestling was awesome, don't get me wrong. But, man, the energy that a live crowd would have fed into that, the ladder match, the Finn-Tim Thatcher stuff, like, man, I feel bad for the NXT kids because they definitely missed the crowd the most, in my opinion. I don't think the fucking plexiglass and that bullshit, the wrestlers being in the crowd, it's nothing compared to having real fans there. Overall, I thought the show was awesome.
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
I mean, I agree with you, but I didn't notice it watching for some reason. Like, and I've noticed it when I watch Raw, when I watch NXT during the week, and when I watch SmackDown, you know, if I watch them. But I didn't notice it in the show. It didn't seem like anything was taken away. Yeah, could it have been better? Of course, with the fans there, absolutely 100%. But kind of like what I said with New Japan, for some reason, this show, I didn't notice it while watching. I don't know why. It just didn't occur to me until you mentioned it.
Tony, thoughts on NXT?
Only thing I made sure I watched, I told you I wasn't going to have a chance to watch everything, but I did want to make sure I watched the Adam Cole, Pat McAfee match, just because I heard that it turned out really well. I got to be honest with you, it really did turn out well for what it was. I mean, there's certain areas you can pick nits where, you know, he kind of like stalled on selling certain things, or his expressions kind of really didn't match up, and his fucking corporate hairdo really didn't go in terms of a wrestling match. But motherfucker had some balls. He knew how to work a side headlock. He knew how to work takedowns. He did the fucking swanton off the top to the outside, and everybody caught him. I was impressed. I was really impressed. He's still a fucking asshole, but I was impressed. And the right guy won. The right guy won. Adam Cole should not have lost that match, and I'm glad he didn't.
Listen, he did things in that match where in WWE prior, like we've only seen, talking about McAfee, like Kurt Angle and Shelton Benjamin do, you know, run and leap onto the top rope and do a suplex off it. Off the top of my head, I can only think that Kurt Angle and Shelton Benjamin have done it before. Maybe like a Guerrero has done it. I'm sure other people have, but it's that move where it makes an impact, and it really does. Again, we can pit Nicks and like towards the finish, it seemed like he was before he hit Panama Sunrise, he was just kind of sitting up, like, and it was very weird. Like, he was just sitting there. Am I reading that right, guys? Do you remember that? Like,
yeah, where he kind of looked like he was maybe
expecting something else.
I don't know. Maybe they were trying to sell that he was like in disbelief, like maybe like, oh, I can't believe I got myself into this, or he knew the end was near, like he'd reached his limit. But to Tony's point, I thought, and I was 1,000% against this from go. And I mean, props to Pat McAfee. I mean, Adam Cole, of course, if you're going to put anyone in the ring, anyone in there with somebody who you need to lead the way, Adam Cole's the guy. But man, like, he did that backflip off the top rope when they were up there, and then he did that top rope suplex. Like, he came correct. It looked good. I don't think you're out of line if you say he's the best non-wrestler to have a match in a wrestling ring. Is that fair to say?
He's definitely up there.
It's close. And if you watched NXT, the go home to the show, he cut a hell of a promo. Again, not perfect, and nor should it be for someone who's not done this before. But he cut a better promo than a lot of the roster could do. And so I want to say that I'm surprised, but I'm really not, because I kind of had faith this whole time that it was going to be good. And to Matt's point, I mean, how could you really go wrong with Adam Cole there? But McAfee held his own. He really, really, really did.
And I do like that they didn't go over the top with the entourages. Like, the Undisputed Era came out to kind of stop Pat McAfee's guys. They had their little pull apart, and McAfee jumped off the top and took them all out. And that was it. Nobody came back. There was no shenanigans, no extra bullshit. And they just let these guys do it one-on-one, and it turned out quite well for them.
Yeah, very, very simple ending towards the end. Just, you know, Adam Cole just facing the camera, doing the Undisputed Era sign, no shenanigans afterwards. And it was that actually may be my favorite thing on the show, that match.
Really? Over the ladder match?
Yeah.
Wow, all right. I also came to this...
Because I got that pick wrong, Matt. That's why.
Oh, fair enough. I also came to this revelation that I don't think Timothy Thatcher is WWE material.
Here's why I agree with you and what you're saying. But he was thrusted into this in the pandemic era, and not really. If you're not familiar with Evolve, you might not be familiar with Timothy Thatcher. So, but he was put into this position like a lot of guys that you that are in a, like the Humberto Carrillos and the Angel Garzas, and who are just kind of thrown around until you find a place for them.
Right, but those guys have a gimmick, and Tim Thatcher's gimmick is that he's a wrestler, and that's it. And it works for me, but I don't know if it translates into, like, he doesn't have flair, he doesn't have pop, he comes out in his jacket and his tights, and he wrestles, and he's fucking really good at it. I just don't know if it translates well on WWE and NXT. And I could be 100% wrong on that.
No, I mean, I think there's definitely something there. But, I mean, it's just something that they've done before. Like, a guy like who they've tried and tried again to give personality to, and I think has done ran with the ball as much as you can, Drew Gulak, is a guy where they're kind of in the same boat, where, like, Drew Gulak came in as just, you know, like the wrestler. Like, that's who he is. He is a wrestler, and until they add layers, like Matt, I love it. Matt, I know you love that term.
I'm a big layer guy.
Big layers guy. Until they add layers to Timothy Thatcher, I think you're right. And I think they will add layers to Timothy Thatcher if they haven't already, at least a little bit.
I hope so. The ladder match was fucking unreal. And I like the win. I know a lot of people aren't big Damian Priest fans, but I'm okay with that. I really didn't want to see Johnny Gargano, and I fucking hate the Velveteen Dream. I'm sure I'm in the minority on that. It has nothing to do with him showing his dick to kids or whatever fucking nasty shit he was doing. I just hate I've always disliked the character.
You and me both, buddy. You and me both.
I don't get it. Maybe it's like the fucking 2020 version of Goldust. It's just, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I don't think we're going to be seeing much of him again. I think they wanted to bring him back for some star power. They got what they wanted out of him, and I'd be shocked if we continue to see him on TV.
Well, since we did bring it up, I know it's more for SummerSlam, but somebody did in the Punch Bowl,
Thunderdome,
held up a sign when Sasha Banks was in the ring for her title defense that said "Fire Velveteen Dream," and that person was promptly vamoosed out of the Thunderdome. They got the "Sorry, your session is over" warning on their screen, and that was that.
I mean, to be fair, they were very clear with the rules and regulations of the Thunderdome.
And you know what I would love to see in the Thunderdome is if, like, somehow all the people could, like, communicate, like, on Twitter or something like that, and they all have a beach ball at their house, and they all just, like, hit the beach ball, and so it looks like there's, like, a beach ball going. Remember that big controversy with the beach balls back in the day?
Oh, I do.
How great would that be if, like, they're all just, like, hitting beach balls to, like, say how fed up they are with the product?
I mean, the WWE still, you have to pay to get in the Thunderdome, right?
No.
I don't think you do.
You just register?
Yeah, but the problem is when you register, now they have your information. You know what I'm saying?
I thought it was. Yeah. I thought you had to, like, buy a virtual seat.
I thought so too at first, but I don't think that's the case. I could be wrong too.
Well, we could get back to that. Let's wrap up some NXT before we move on to SummerSlam. I just brought that up just because we were talking about Velveteen Dream, but we can get into Thunderdome in a little bit.
That beach ball thing didn't hit, did it?
No.
Okay.
Martin Church.
The women's match was decent. I could not, like, a piece of Tegan Nox's weave fell out at one point.
That's Dakota Kai.
Dakota Kai, whatever. Piece of her weave fell out. And then a part of her, like, leggings broke, and a piece of her, like, butt cheek was, like, protruding out, and it looked like she had, like, a boil on her butt, and I couldn't stop looking at it.
Oh, damn it. If I would have known, I would have watched that match, too. Because
it looked so... It was just, like, literally just, like, her stocking broke, her legging broke, and just, like, that skin just was, like, poking out. It wasn't, like, anywhere close to her private parts. It wasn't, like, invasive. It was just... Anytime you saw it, you're like, there's something on her butt. And then you're like, oh, the stocking broke, and a little piece of her butt is sticking out of this. It just looked weird, and I couldn't stop looking at it.
I didn't even notice it.
Just as an aside, like, I get that people want to get the fancy gear for the pay-per-views, and they're constantly, like, working on new designs and shit, and I applaud that. Everybody should have their own gear that's unique to them, has their own look and whatnot. But people, fucking give these shits a test run. I was watching Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. You know how many times fucking Sonya's yanking up her tights? It's like, get shit that fits, man. And it's not just her. It's like guys all the time. Just make sure you fucking test that out before you get to the ring. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man.
It's me just fucking being a dick, I guess, but.
No, I mean, no one wants to watch someone pull up their pants half the fucking match.
It's like you got fucking DDT'd on the concrete, and the first thing you do is you start grabbing your knee pads. It's like, come on. Really? Really?
Picking nits, baby.
You got dropped on your fucking head. You're worried about your left patella tendon? Come on. Really?
I don't necessarily know how I feel about Io Shirai as the women's champion. There was the save at the end with Rhea Ripley where she came down and went face-to-face with that Amazon-looking chick.
Giant Gonzalez.
But maybe Rhea takes that title back from Io Shirai because I don't think she should have lost it in the first place.
Nope. Biggest fucking mistake at WrestleMania. Biggest fucking mistake.
And then we had our main event, which I thought was a hell of a match. Big,
was it a banger?
It was a banger. Big Metallica presence during the NXT.
What kind of presents were they? Were they CDs? Were they autographs?
They were everything. You got a brand new copy of Hardwire to Self-Destruct, and then they played The Moth Into the Flames, and then they told you that the new present is coming this Friday with the second symphony album, and then they used Frantic from Saint Anger as the video package to sum up this whole Keith Lee Karrion Kross story.
You said Frantic. I thought you meant some jackoff with a foil hat showed up.
Oh, well, you know what, Tony? It's nice to see that you've crossed over to my side and realized that he is a jackoff in a foil hat.
I only said that because that's your opinion of him. I love me some Frantic. Some fucking Francis Wright the Third or whatever he is.
Isn't Saint Anger like the album that was like universally panned?
Yes.
People did not like it. No, it's not Metallica's best work. But Frantic, I enjoy Frantic. It's a good song.
Frantic's a hell of a wrestler.
No, he's not. He's garbage. He's trash bag garbage wrestler Francis Wright. That's his name.
Do you think they did Keith Lee a disservice putting both belts on him, having him relinquish one that was decided by a new person and the same show where he lost the belt that he fucking kept? Isn't that some like weird shit? You know what I'm saying? Like Ricky Steamboat loses at a Honky Tonk Man level shit. You know,
It's like,
it'd be like if like the Ultimate Warrior, who just beat Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6, has both belts, and then he gives up the Intercontinental Championship, and then he loses the World Championship, like, which he kind of actually did, but a year later to Sergeant Slaughter. But if he just lost it like the next day.
I think it's more like when the Midnight Express were the U.S. champs, beat Tully and Arn for the world titles, and then they gave up the U.S. belts, and then they wound up losing the world title before the U.S. belts tournament was even decided. It's just fucking weird. It's really weird.
Well, I think that Keith Lee was destined for the main roster long before this decision was made to put both belts on him. It was just a matter of time before they...
But also think about, like, Kevin Owens showed up on Raw with the NXT title. Didn't Samoa Joe do the same thing? So, like, what would have been the harm?
Tony, I don't know.
Tony, great question. Great question, buddy. He was a transitional champion. That's it. But you can't.
He was more than a transitional champion because they made such. It was like bigger than like winning just the championship. He had both belts. It was just.
Did he defend this belt at all before the weekend show?
No.
Nope. This was his only defense.
Maybe Dominic Dijakovic, maybe on a show, maybe? Could be making that up.
I said it at the In Your House when Karrion Kross dismantled Tommaso Ciampa in like 4 minutes. Like, you knew they're not going to have him kill fucking Adam Cole. So they had to make a move and put the title on some face that Karrion Kross was going to beat.
Yeah.
You know, and look, Keith Lee's going up to Raw tonight, he might have already done his gimmick. I don't know. He might be in the underground fighting, you know, might dick grabbing, whatever he's doing on there. But maybe it's a better move. So you never know. Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, the promoter of Synergy Wrestling. He will not sing Alanis Morissette with us. He is the one and only Colin West. Colin, how are you?
I've been warming up. I mean, now that you said that I'm not going to sing, but I was warming up.
Look, I have my finger on the pulse of all the podcasts you do, and every time someone says, do you have a question for Colin West, I say, can you ask him to sing Alanis Morissette? Now, I don't have all the time in the day to listen to all these podcasts because you are a very busy man. You get out there, you pound the pavement, much respect to that. But I don't know if you've ever sang, and I don't think you have. So you warming up your vocal cords, I think, is a bunch of horseshit, sir.
I mean, look, is it a bunch of horseshit? Yeah, probably. But I will say this, that if I'm going to sing, I'm going to sing on your show before I sing on anybody else's, and that's real. I'm not going
to
do that.
Well, if we wanted to lose listeners, we would ask you to sing, but we don't want that to happen because you're here to talk about Heat Seekers, which is taking place this Saturday night. Being a promoter is tough enough to begin with, and then they pile on this COVID-19 bullshit, and Synergy has been one of the first independent promotions in Jersey to run since this all happened, and this is not your first show. How hard has it been, the challenges and doing the outdoor restrictions and making sure people are 6 feet apart? I mean, like I said, it's hard enough to begin with being a wrestling promoter, and then you dump all the shit on top of you. How have you adjusted?
I mean, I think that the thing about it, it's been easier because I've avoided the temptation to be political about it. Like, obviously, I have my opinions on, I think wearing masks is important. I think that stopping the spread is important. But not everybody agrees with me. And rather than try to do the promoter thing that a lot of people fall into the trap and say, you all need to agree with me and you need to blah, 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 blah. Look, it's not about me. It's about, hey, if we don't follow these restrictions, I can't run a show legally. So I'm not going to preach to you. You know, I'm not here to tell anybody that I'm better than them or that I know better than them. I just am in a position where if we do A, B, C, and D, we can run a wrestling show. And if we don't, we can't. So if you'd like to see us put on a show, this is what we have to do. And that's kind of where I am with things. We've definitely had to be really creative because the first two events that we did in July were indoors and we were at a 25% capacity at that point. Obviously that's not realistic right now with the 25 person max that's just changed. But we had to get creative about how we raised funds. We had to, you know, look for sponsors and advertisers and people to support us in different ways and provide value in different ways besides just putting on a really dope show. You know, so I almost, in a weird way, it was almost like, all right, this is a real business now. Like, this is not just, you know, playing, you know, I think a lot of people like to play promoter or say they have a wrestling company and make a hobby out of it. I lost my job at the beginning of August. So this became the shooter, as they would say around the business. So I've treated Synergy like a real business and gone about things in different ways. And I'm just really grateful that people have responded positively.
Yeah, the fan support seems to be overwhelming. And I think wrestling fans, they're jonesing to go to a live event. And you have quite the stacked card this weekend. Now, I don't know about your ticket capacity. I don't know if tickets are still available.
They are, actually. You can get them on three ways. If you go to synergywrestling.com. Or if you can find the Facebook event page or the Eventbrite, direct ticket link. But yeah, there are tickets still available. If you don't feel comfortable coming to a live event, wearing a mask at a live event, what have you, you can stream us on Fight TV also.
And it's a jam-packed lineup. Frightmare against Brandon Kirk, Arcadia against Joe Gacy, LSG Matt McIntosh, which, I mean, if you have your finger on the pulse of independent wrestling in New Jersey, that's a fucking banger. Kyle the Beast against Bobby Orlando, which is a sleeper match because I think Kyle's awesome and Bobby is amazing. Elias Taylor against Charles Manson. Mason, excuse me. Sorry.
Wow.
You know how I have an affinity for murderers. What's TJ?
We broke him out for this. We broke him out for this.
Isn't he dead, Charles Manson? Charles Manson's dead, right? No.
Well, if he's not, we broke him. Well, if he is, we broke him out of the grave. I don't have my finger on the pulse of murderers. I don't know. He might be alive. He might not be alive. Either way.
I think he's dead.
Manson died. We'll call him dead then. Rest in peace, Charles Manson.
Well, you know what? If you dug up his bones and had it involved in a wrestling match, I would 1,000% pay like triple for that.
And if you sang,
oh, triple, nice.
If you sang, he would dance along. It's quite the dance.
Yeah, them bones, them amazing. Bones, them bones.
Yeah, I should. Oh my God, I should sing Alanis Morissette. Hook the corpse of Charles Manson up to cables, and we'll just put on a show. That'll be what we do.
Maybe it's the maybe you don't do Alanis Morissette. Maybe you choose someone better.
That feels like a loaded question.
There's got to be a better
Alanis. Those Alanis wrestling marks out there are going to be really mad.
Like, how many strong cocktails? There's got to be a karaoke playlist, right, for Colin West? I know I have a karaoke playlist. Like, if I, and I hate karaoke, but if I drink enough,
yeah,
I'll sing Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Oh, that's a good choice. That's a solid choice. Don't let anybody, let anybody shame you for drunk Tracy Chapman. And that's an A-plus choice.
And Oh Sherry by Steve Perry. Those are my two go-to karaoke songs. Fuck, what are you laughing about?
I didn't know
there?
You had that kind of range.
I don't, but if I get
didn't
drunk.
I know you had that kind of vocal range.
If I get drunk enough, I can't hear myself, so I just fucking let loose.
Oh Sherry's not a bad choice.
Man. Oh, Sherry's not a bad choice.
You should have been listening earlier. I sang every single question with Eric Young in the form of a song.
Yeah. I mean, how is EY? I caught a bit of the interview. It sounded great. He sounded like he was in a pretty good place.
He's doing well. He was watching hockey while he was talking to us, and he's doing good.
Yeah, you know, you just hear it, and you can hear it in somebody's tone of voice when they're in a good space and they're in a good headspace. He sounded like he was in a good headspace, you know.
Is TJ Crawford in a good space? Because I know he was hurt at WrestlePro this weekend. Is he going to defend his title? What's his status? And what's Casey Cattell doing?
Exclusives. I will give you the double exclusives. It looks like Casey is going to compete.
Yes,
it looks like she's good to go. Crawford. This is straight shoot out of storyline. I don't know. It is touch and go. He's got a small tear in his shoulder. We don't know how workable it is right now. We are looking at two scenarios, one where he doesn't wrestle and one where he does. We will know more on, I think, Wednesday, if not Thursday, about Crawford's actual real life medical status. You will know. We don't pull punches with people. Y'all will know when we know.
Now, if TJ Crawford can wrestle, but he's hurt, right? You take him in the Whisper and you just make them Careless Whisper as a tag team. Boom.
Nailed it. I wonder if Casey can play the saxophone. I mean, that would just be a segment, right?
I mean, she's married to Brandon Kirk, so she's got to have a lot of extracurricular activities that she can do to keep herself entertained, because he's a fucking boring, boring person. And what does he have against you where he's getting a title shot?
Look, first of all, anybody who has the choice of any team to support in the world and chooses the Dallas Mavericks is the most boring person, I think, in the history of people. Luca. Yeah, but come on now. Come on now. Let's be real here. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Mavericks, but I'm not a front runner from the mid-2000s. I promise I'm not. Yeah, okay, buddy. Okay. Kirk and I were the bestest of friends for real, about 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, we did the drives together. We were in the car together. We were really tight. And then just like a random series of things happened, you know, like I'm not even trying to make a storyline out of it, because I don't have to, you know, like we disagreed on a couple of things. He started kind of taking advantage of our friendship and synergy a little bit. And before you know it, I'm not invited to his wedding. And I fired him from here. Nick Kay hired him back. And I've kind of moved on, and I feel like he kind of hasn't. And he's taken this title match very seriously, like in a very shoot way that, you know, he feels kind of dead set that, you know, he's going to win this match, and he's going to, as he said very, very nicely, shove the title up my ass. I don't know if it's going to fit. I don't know where he would start, whether he'd start at the end of the strap or go horizontally, or either way, it's going to be unpleasant. And I don't really want to figure that out. So here's hoping Frightmare takes care of business.
Yeah, I would say plate first, just get it out of the way. But I've never had a title belt stuck up my ass.
Plate first, get it out of
that
the way.
That seems very aggressive.
It's shaped more like the 10 pounds of gold than anything. So I don't know if I want to go plate first.
Brandon sounds like a dick.
Brandon is a dick.
Wow.
Yeah, Brandon is a dick. Where have you been? This is the rogue, Brandon Kirk.
I don't get it.
People are attracted to their opposites. What can I say? I mean, I love Casey.
Ooh, would you sing some Paul Abdul and MC Scat Cat, Opposites Attract?
Oh, man, I don't do anything with scat.
Well, you could be Paul Abdul. Matt could be scat. Matt loves shit.
I could be Paula Abdul. I would make a mean Paula Abdul. I'd have to lose about 40 pounds. But I could probably get that choreography together. Yeah, I could probably do that.
I can't.
Somebody would have to be the animated Cheetos Leopard guy. But yeah, we could do that.
He was Scat Cat. That's what his name was. He wasn't a Cheetos Leopard guy. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, like, why didn't they just call him like, I don't know, Harry the Dump Tiger? Like, Scat Cat sounds terrible.
Wait, who's
Harry the Dump Tiger?
Yeah, the poop puma. I don't know.
Those sound like my kind of people.
Harry.
Yeah. Hey, look, everybody. It's the diarrhea cheetah. Like, what is Scat Cat? That's disgusting.
I would pay money to see a cheetah with diarrhea.
How much faster do you think that cheetah would run than the average cheetah? I mean, I'd pay. Oh, man, now I'm in. I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, I just want to see the result. Is it like when someone, like has, like, a paint can fall out of the back of their car and they drive for, like, a mile and there's, like, the line on the street?
that line of paint spraying all over the place? Yeah, that's it.
I'm still in love with Harry the Dump Tiger or whatever.
Harry the Dump Tiger is a winner, man.
That's gold right there.
I'm pretty sure Harry the Dump Tiger used to wrestle at ECPW, right? Or what? NWS? Or
definitely.
SSCW?
Yeah, absolutely. The mainstay. It's Harry the Dump Tiger versus Slayer.
If you want, my God. If you need a synergy mascot, Harry the Dump Tiger, he will be as famous as Willie the Cat from WCW.
I'll tell you right now, I think I've talked myself into a corner. If we have a mascot and it's not Harry the Dump Tiger, I think that I've proven myself to be a piece of shit and a liar. So I feel like I have to now.
I think it would be the hottest selling t-shirt, Harry the Dump Tiger. Wow. I would buy three.
Gotta do
Jesus,
it.
Zero. I don't know why I only come on with you guys once every couple of months, because legitimately, this is zero heat to any other podcast, but we get ourselves in conversational holes that I just enjoy for months afterwards. Like, this is ridiculous.
Well, we go back and we listen. We go back and we listen, and then we go, oh my God, we're never having that fucking guy.
Yeah,
again.
Synergy Pro Wrestling this Saturday. Heat Seekers, Brandon Kirk, Frightmare, Casey Catown, Harry the Dump Tiger, Joe Casey. Jesus Christ.
Harry the fucking Dump Tiger.
I'm all in.
Holy shit.
Arcadia.
And look.
Fucking Dump Tiger.
And yeah. Harry the Dump Tiger could be at the dump tank.
Come back
and people
in September, the return of Jordan Oliver, one-on-one with the diarrhea cheetah and a 30-minute hire. Like, Jesus, Lord, what is happening?
Harry the Dump Tiger in the dump tank. There you go.
Shit, cats.
We do need to book the tag team now. It's Harry the Dump Tiger and the Diarrhea Cheetah as the Scat Cats, right? We just need to do this.
Oh, my God. I could just picture an opening like Thundercats. But it's just like,
oh my God.
But it's just so bad. It's all about like garbage and poop.
Instead of the fans throwing streamers, they throw toilet paper at them. It's like a home run.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. It's good. True story. You know, that's why they banned streamers from CZW, right?
Because DJ Hyde was using them to molest girls?
Oh. No, that's alleged.
Allegedly. And
Allegedly.
I can't say all that, but no, what was happening is they were getting so fed up with the shows at the Skate Zone that people were bringing in toilet paper instead of streamers and just showering the ring with it. And so they said, oh, no more streamers.
Harry the Dump Tiger would be all about that.
He would have been wired champion at least twice.
So Heat Seekers.
God, my next phone call with DJ is going to be unpleasant.
Don't talk to him. I can't believe he's still in the wrestling business. Heat Seekers.
Why we're here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Heat Seekers. The debut of Harry the Dump Tiger on Fight TV. What are you most looking for? Is this Joe Gacy's last stand in Synergy? Am I reading that correctly?
There are certain things that I can't say for legal reasons, but hypothetically, if I knew for certain that this was Joe Gacy's last independent pro wrestling match for the foreseeable future, that's something that I couldn't tell you.
What match are you looking forward to most? If you could take yourself out of the promoter's shoes and put yourself into fans' shoes.
I mean, there's a couple. I mean, obviously, Brandon Kirk Frightmare, the championship match is always very special to me. But I think I, as a fan, as somebody, like I said, who likes to think that I have my finger on the pulse of things, I'm with you. McIntosh LSG is just going to be special. You know, you just look at two guys who are at the top of their game at the same time. And it's one where you just kind of let two superior wrestlers just go and don't get in the way and don't overbook it. And I promise you, if you haven't watched Synergy before, that's not who we are. I'm not here to pretend I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm not here to overbook or put myself over, and you know, I don't matter. I'm the last person that matters at a Synergy show. The wrestlers matter, and what you want to see matters. And that's why, like, I'll book things like LSG and McIntosh and just get out of the way and let two superior wrestlers just go.
Yes, I agree.
Have you done any fantasy football drafts? Are you expecting a football season?
The weird thing about it is that I don't think we're getting college football till the spring. I really don't. I think that's pretty done. I think we're getting an NFL season because Roger loves money.
Oh, first name
Roger
basis.
Loves money
Look at
a
you.
Lot. I mean, that's where I am. I have done, I'm in a fantasy league where, true story, Eric Corvus runs a day-long game show to determine draft order. And me, KTB, and a bunch of people, it's a fun day. And I'm not putting it over because I've won it for the third time in 4 years, but that might be why I'm putting it over. So the draft's in a couple of weeks. It's looking like, I mean, my keepers from last year are pretty trash, but I'm in a good position. I have two firsts and two seconds. I'm probably walking based on keepers. I'm probably walking with McCaffrey or Zeke with the first overall. So I'm in a pretty good spot.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
You all right, Matt?
I'm great. Hey, let me ask you a question. You have your finger on the pulse of independent wrestling. Have you ever heard of this trash bag Francis Wright?
No, I have no idea who that is.
Good. Don't ever book him. If you want somebody to shut your fucking mouth. If you want somebody to do the job to Harry the Dump Tiger, Francis Wright will take a payday in a heartbeat.
Wow. I have no frame of reference for this conversation. Honest to God answer, I don't know who that is.
You know what? You're better off, Colin. You're a better person than we are.
I am this is the first time anybody has accused me of being a better person than they are. So thank you. You're probably wrong, but thank you.
I mean, if they listen to the last 15 minutes, they know that I'm lying about it, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At Synergy Wrestle is the Twitter machine. You are super active on the Twitter machine. Your relationship with Fight TV, how important has that been during these times of COVID?
Everything. It's been everything. They've done such a good job. So has IWTV and Power Slam. I mean, just the streaming services have kind of kept indie wrestling conscious and alive for a couple of months. And Fight was really good about, we approached them and we said, hey, can we do a couple of compilation best of streams four themed streams and just set the price really cheap at like $4.99 and just let people kind of take in the product and see what we're all about. And they were really cool with us doing that. And it just kind of, it increased our profile a little bit and gave us a better relationship with Fight in the process. And that team has been really good to us. And I'm just, like I say all the time, I'm not important. I'm just a guy that has a wrestling company, and I'm really blessed that people have decided that we don't suck and that they want to give us a chance and get behind us. So yeah, any relationship, especially one with somebody that's as important as Fight, is really just a blessing to me, and I'm grateful for it.
And if you're interested in checking out Synergy Wrestling, you can head over to synergywrestling.com is the website. Again, at Synergy Wrestle on Twitter. This Saturday night, August 29th, Heat Seekers from Hillsboro, New Jersey. Tickets are still available. If you go to synergywrestling.com, you can find the link there. And if you aren't comfortable, as Colin said, going out or being in public around other people and wearing a mask, you can go over to Fight TV and you can order it and check it out. And they have, it's a cavalcade of really the best in independent pro wrestling. Tony Deppen just won the Garden State Invitational. As we mentioned, Matt McIntosh, LSG, Kyle the Beast, Frightmare. Shit, I might even throw Brandon Kirk there if I have another drink. So great company out here in New Jersey. They're killing it. Definitely highly recommend them. Please check them out. Colin, sorry. That was might be the most disrespectful thing I've ever said to somebody.
Have that drink, Matt.
Yes. Before we let you go, I know this was a quick interview, but we definitely want to have you back on just because we have so much to cover tonight. What do you want to tell the fans of Synergy Wrestling?
An old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon. 2 minutes too late. Sing it with me. Sing it. Go.
Harry the Dumb Tiger.
Oh. Harry the Dumb Tiger.
Colin West, Synergy Wrestling, at Synergy Wrestle on the Twitter machine. Always a great interview.
He sang.
He did sing. He did sing. That was awesome. Holy shit.
He's a lot of fun, man. I don't know why you hate the guy so much. He's a lot of fun.
No, I'm just a ball buster. That's all. You're a dick. I'm a dick. So I think we covered NXT TakeOver proper, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right, and again, Synergy Wrestling, at Synergy Wrestle on Twitter. Give them a follow if you're looking to watch some wrestling Saturday night. Definitely go over to Fight TV and check them out. If you want to go to a wrestling show, Hillsboro, New Jersey, all the information is at synergywrestling.com. We go from NXT to the biggest party of the summer. Is that still the catchphrase? What was the catchphrase for this one?
You ain't seen nothing yet?
Was that it?
You'll never see it coming.
You'll never see it coming. Did we see it coming?
I didn't see the pre-show.
I enjoyed it.
Here's something that bugs me. Like, these pre-show matches, like, why don't they just include them in, like, the rebroadcast? You know what I'm saying? Like, it would be so much easier. Because I fucking start the show, and I'm like, I don't have time to go fucking around looking for this shit. I really don't.
They do.
No, it wasn't in the... I watched NXT TakeOver today, the tag match wasn't included in the rebroadcast. And when I watched SummerSlam after that, the United States Championship match was not included.
What you have to do is, it might not be readily available right away, but you have to click on like more of SummerSlam.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch like the pre-show.
You shouldn't have to do that.
No, it should be included.
All right. I'm just telling you how to do it.
I get there's a way to do it, but like when I put on the fucking show, I want to see the show. I don't want to have to fish around for shit that was part of the show. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so like even like when I watch, if I want to go back and watch like a WrestleMania pre-show, you click on the WrestleMania, and then there's a tab that says more from WrestleMania.
Yeah, but who wants to watch that? You want to watch the match. You don't want to watch the fucking pre-show, do you?
Yeah, and then you can jump, to that match.
They should just put the match first, so I don't have to fucking look for it.
Yep.
But did we see it coming?
What, the finish?
Yeah.
I did not see the ending coming. Did you see it coming?
No.
No, I loved it.
I could have done without.
Loved it.
could have done with the fucking the camera. They gotta stop. When he was beating him with the chair, it was. I swear to God, I thought Michael J. Fox had the camera.
No, it's not even the zooming in and out. They cut from one camera to another between each shot. What the fuck,
too
dude?
Much. Just.
Fucking stop. He's getting hit with a fucking chair. Just stop it. Who gives a shit?
It's nauseating. It actually makes me like.
My eyes hurt, dude. And when your eyes can't focus, you fucking get this nasty ass fucking eye strain headache. And I hate that shit. It's bad. Really bad.
But Roman Reigns coming back was done excellent. It was so well done.
Motherfucker needs to wrestle without the vest, without the cargo pants. He needs to fucking just change it up completely. Enough of the bullshit, dude. He's a jacked 300-pound Samoan guy. Even the fucking fat Samoan guys don't even wear shirts. And this motherfucker's been wearing a fucking Teflon or Velcro vest, whatever the fuck they call that shit, for like the past 10 years. It's like, come on, dude, change that shit up. Even John Cena wore different fucking colored jorts once in a while, you know?
Maybe this is a nice refresh for him. Look, he couldn't defend his title. Or no, he couldn't challenge Goldberg, excuse me, because of COVID. Braun won. Then Braun lost it to The Fiend. And now here he comes back. And he looked fucking awesome. It was a great, great moment to see him back in the ring. And if they let him be like this badass like tweener, like he doesn't need to be full heel, but he doesn't need to be full baby face. But he's like yelling at like Braun Strowman, like, you weren't the monster until I got here. You know, like you weren't the monster without me, like shit like that. Instead of him being like, you know, don't boo me. I'm the good guy. You know, if he's like a fucking fired up badass dude, I'm okay with that. I can get behind that.
Okay with it. I'd be fucking ecstatic with it, dude. That'd be fucking amazing. Here's something I noticed. Here's a generalization, right? You look at Braun Strowman, you look at fucking Claymore. They are not the fucking characters that were being built up and primed to win championships. I'm watching fucking Drew McIntyre, who had a great match with Randy Orton, by the way, and I will fucking say it again. Randy Orton is the greatest fucking thing in professional wrestling, and if you don't agree, you're out of your fucking mind, because he knows how to fucking play everything off so well. The glances, the looks, the movement, the non-movement, the pauses. Everything is perfect. But you look at Braun Strowman and you look at Claymore. It's almost like they're fucking, and I hate to use the Bruce Pritchard phrase because he used it on Nick Aldis and I thought it was unfair, but it's like they're fucking pretending to be something they're not. Like fucking Braun Strowman go, I'm like, why don't you stay down? When the fuck would Braun Strowman ever say something like that? I'm like, are you serious? It doesn't make sense. These guys are supposed to be bad motherfuckers. Let them be bad motherfuckers. Why do you got to give them these fucking angles and these fucking things to say and do when it doesn't fit them? It just didn't make sense. If Braun Strowman went in there, guns ablaze, and trying to beat him up, and he couldn't fucking beat him, he was frustrated. What does frustration do for Braun Strowman? He doesn't fucking stop and yell at the guy. He fucking beats on him more. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't fucking fit. It just felt like two guys pretending to be Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre at points. And that was a big fucking problem for me. The match overall with Drew and fucking and Randy, fine match. Awesome match. But shit like that just fucking like you're like, really? This is what they're gonna do with this? And I really didn't even care for Braun Strowman Fiend as much as I liked the WWE Championship match, but it had its moments. Like when fucking Braun like finally had enough cutting up the fucking ring. I'm like, that's awesome. That's what pissed off Braun would be fucking doing, figuring out a way to beat this motherfucker. You know?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to start cutting his fucking mask
off. Yeah, I thought he was going to try and stab him because, you know, you know, I don't know.
It's what rehashing the fucking New Jack storyline?
Yeah, I mean, go for it. Kevin, you okay over there?
Kevin's fine. He's listening. He's enjoying. Kevin can't hear us.
No, I can hear you. It just feels like... Oh.
He hears voices.
You know what it is?
Randy Orton's in his house.
I really thought that like something was like really pounding on a door upstairs, but then I just realized that our neighbors put a basketball hoop outside, so people are probably just playing basketball.
All right.
Hopefully they're wearing their masks.
Kevin, thoughts on the Braun Strowman Fiend?
I mean, I think the right person won.
Mm-hmm. It's the only one. That's the only one Tony lost.
Yeah, I didn't think the right person won.
I mean, I want to go back to like the Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton stuff, just because there were a lot of people that were complaining about how, and maybe not a lot, maybe an overstatement, about how that wasn't the closer.
I mean, is that still a thing?
I think it was fine where it was.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, but and on top of that, you've got this major story where you're planning fucking Roman Reigns coming back. So you kind of have to close the show with that. That's a huge moment.
Well, that, yeah, hindsight being 2020,
yeah, and
yeah,
he fucking
course.
Cut the ring up. You can't have a – what are you going to – come on, people. Stop.
Ooh, they could do some else.
No, I'm saying in real time they were complaining. Afterwards, I'm sure everyone was fine.
They fucking – wrestling fans complain about fucking everything, you fucking nerds.
That's right.
Overall, I thought it was a good show. I did fall asleep during the Sonya Deville-Mandy Rose match this afternoon, and I thought the Ray and Dominic thing, or the Ray, Seth and Dominic thing went really long. It was like over 20 minutes, no?
It did. There was no reason for it to do that. And who was the woman? Was that his mother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, like you look at Ray. Ray,
oh, come on, Tony.
Ray always looks like he's 15 to me. Like he just looks like a little kid. And it's not the height. He's got a baby face. He's one of those guys that's going to always look like a little kid. His wife, like, she looked like so much older than him, dude. I was like, wow, what a fucking difference.
He's got a mask on, man.
I'm sure if Ray looked more like Jose Lothario or like a Mondo Guerrero, then it would fit. Because Ray's not a young guy. Ray's in his 40s now. He's pushing 50, isn't he?
He's probably closer to 50, I would imagine.
But that's saying, like, Ray doesn't look like a 50-year-old man. You know what I'm saying?
How is that his fault?
It's not his fault, but I look at him and I see a little kid's face, and then I see this woman comes out.
What face? He has a mask on. What face are you seeing?
Really?
That's right.
I saw his eye. His eye looked pretty young.
Oh, good old young eye.
He's got the eye of Harry the Dumb Tiger.
I don't enjoy the Street Profits.
The match was fine.
I didn't say the match was bad. Them, I just don't enjoy them. I think Montez Ford needs to be on his own. That other guy.
He's the big guy.
The big guy I could do without.
No. Angelo Dawkins is the big guy.
Yeah, I could do without him. Okay. Montez Ford, I want him to go by himself.
Is it me or is Private Party very similar to these guys?
All right, here's the thing. And this has been debated for a long time now.
But there's a lot of similarities there.
Private Party was pre Street Profits.
Okay.
Because they were, at least on the independents. Of course, when they got signed to AEW, everyone made that immediate comparison. But Private Party was doing the thing before Street Profits were even a thought. Because Angelo Dawkins has been in the developmental system, I think, since FCW. I could be wrong about that, but very close.
They're not exactly the same, but they do come off as kind of the same gimmick, right?
Of course they do, but it's not. It's nobody's real fault. If anything, it's WWE's fault for pushing that gimmick.
Oh, no, and I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. I'm just saying there's, like, eerie similarities between the two teams.
Yeah, Street Profits are – I mean, Private Party are more elite in their gimmick because, you know, you have to get behind the rope and it's a private party, whereas the Street Profits, Montez Ford comes out with a solo cup and wears a
fucking
crown.
Cup. It's a fucking cup. They dropped cups from the ceiling. Thunderdome, we're going to drop plastic cups from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Private
Party is first. If you want to pick between the two, Private Party is the originator of the quote-unquote gimmick.
Thoughts on the two women's championship matches? I think the story was great across both of them. I think the story played out the way it should have, where Bayley continues to press on and Sasha eats shit again. I think the story building with tension with them, probably back on the right track. Maybe they're eventually coming to a head, but I do like the build. Every once in a while, I look at it, and it's like, they're kind of dragging this out. But then you see moments like that, and it's like, this is not a bad thing, you know?
And it was so enjoyable, especially after the promo where, like, if Bayley can beat her, then I certainly can. And then Bayley looks at Sasha, and then, of course, Bayley helps – or Sasha helps Bayley win, but Bayley doesn't necessarily help Sasha win. So there's definitely something to build on there. And this has been arguably, I know you guys aren't religious WWE watchers, and to be honest, neither am I nowadays, but it's been the best, to me, it's been the best thing that they've been going on the show to me.
I need to know if Asuka got checked for a concussion, because when she took that outside the ring power bomb, from Sasha. Holy fuck. I was I think my head was down and I heard it and I fucking looked up like, what the fuck was that?
I thought it was pretty vicious when Bailey did the sunset flip into the turnbuckles. That was fucking nasty looking.
No, but the powerbomb, that's something I never want to see again. That was just like, it looked safe, but the impact was just insane.
Them girls put on a show, though. That was...
Oh, yeah.
And I don't watch Raw on the regular. Samoa Joe on commentary is awesome. It's a fucking sin that he's hurt and that he can't wrestle. But if he's going to have a post-wrestling career, I'd be okay with him behind the desk. Because I could not stand Corey Graves during NXT. I fucking can't stand him. He's awful.
Yep. We've been down this road before.
I know we have. I know. But I just don't watch NXT on the regular, so... Tony and Kevin went 7-1 during SummerSlam. I eat my balls and went 3-5.
Oh wait, sorry, this is fucking loud. Hold on.
I think I ate it on NXT though. So
no, you went 3-3, which wasn't terrible.
That's eating it to me.
Well, for the weekend, Tony went 11-3. Kevin, you went 10-4, and I went 7-7.
Wait, I went 4-2 on NXT.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I thought you did better than that, to be honest with you.
No, we all lost the tag match, and he had Keith Lee winning.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And
yeah,
you lost the tag match, and you had Cameron Grimes
Keith
winning.
I had Cameron Grimes winning, and Keith Lee.
And yeah.
So wait, what did you do this weekend, Matt?
I went 7-7.
Ooh, I'm only one behind you now, ain't
you? You are. I am 106-49. Tony is 105-50. And Kevin made up some ground. He is now 97-58. So I know, Kevin, you think you're – man, you got to give yourself some credit, Kevin. Remember, I was like 13 games back last year at this time. And
well,
the great thing
is we have a pay-per-view literally a week from yesterday.
We have two shows to pick this weekend, my friends.
What's the other one?
New Japan Pro Wrestling Summer Struggle.
Oh, great.
Well, this summer has been a struggle, so it's very apropos.
There we go. And Payback, which apparently Apollo Crews is going to defend the U.S. title against Bobby Lashley.
Love it. Love the Hurt Business. I'm a big Hurt Business guy.
And then I know the girls are going to defend their tag titles.
That's right. And I'd be shocked if we don't get the rematch between Drew and Randy Orton.
Yeah, because of a backslide. Good finish.
Yep, the backslide, yep.
And I think Roman and The Fiend and Braun might have a triple threat.
Really? They're going to put Roman in that quick, eh?
I think so. Renee Young's gone. She's moving on to greener pastures. So
I'm not clapping because I want her gone. I'm clapping for her contribution to WWE. She's been fantastic.
So take that for what it's worth. They're bringing back Talking Smack.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wonderful.
Goldberg revealed in a podcast at the end of July that he has signed through 2023 on a 2-match-per-year deal.
Yeah, baby. Love me some Goldberg.
Does anyone want to see Bill Goldberg wrestle?
Give me Goldberg versus Cedric Alexander.
I want to see Goldberg dropping motherfuckers on.
What about Goldberg versus Big E?
I don't want to see Goldberg at all.
I don't know.
That's just
what about
me.
Dynamite? Did we touch Dynamite at all?
We did not. Let's touch on some Dynamite and then some news and notices and play games. Thoughts on Saturday Night Dynamite?
I Double was fist. Surprised but very ecstatic that they pulled the trigger on Brody Lee. I think he needed it, to be honest with you. Super great. I think the Dark Order is slowly becoming, not slowly, it was slow, but now it's really becoming like really fun to watch.
Right.
So I enjoyed it and loved that. I loved, what else did we talk about? The Women's Cup. Ivelisse and Diamante won, right?
Oh, they did.
I like it. I can dig it. I'm just trying to pick off the top of my head what was on the show because I watched it.
FTR beat Private Party, The Butcher and the Blade, and the Lucha Brothers beat Jurassic Express. And
then the Eddie Kingston promo. Oh, my God, Eddie Kingston. That's when I texted you when it happened, when I watched it. I was like, Eddie Kingston is so damn good. And the MJF promo with you know, dear good friend, Smart Mark Sterling.
There's the name drop.
There's a name drop, boys. We were due for one.
All right.
Cutting an amazing promo. Sorry.
No, you're good. Let's talk about this Chris Jericho Orange Cassidy match that's taking place at All Out. How do you guys feel about this? The Mimosa Mayhem gimmick. Tony, what's wrong, buddy? Tony, very enthusiastic thumb up. How do you feel about them selling tickets to this Thursday show?
It's fine. Got to start getting back to normal sometime, don't we?
I guess so.
Fuck them. And they're taking precautions, and Tony Khan's pissed off that people are scalping the tickets, and he said, you bought a scalp ticket, you ain't coming to my fucking show, which is smart. Because if they're going to try to fuck around with the way that they want to do things, then they're going to shut it down. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Mimosa dunking contest. Whatever, dude. Whatever.
I don't know. This kind of makes me, I'm not very much on board with this. I'm not feeling it.
Look, it's Jericho. It'll probably surprise us. But yeah, like, I don't know.
Jericho finds a way to, and he's extended his career by doing this. And this is not just me talking. This is people that I've been around have said that he like everyone has. He's attached his career, extended his career tenfold by attaching himself to people that are super over and super popular. So him and Orange Cassidy, this feud it going longer than I thought it would be, is not a surprise to me at all. So there's that.
And we did the AEW watch along last night. It was an interesting show to watch and hard to keep track of everything going on, but it's worth a listen. So check that out. It's up on theshiningwizards.com.
Very, very fun to hear Rhiannon's take on things.
Yeah, she's always a good time.
Yeah, she don't like you interviewing women.
She don't like you doing anything, apparently.
And I love that.
She know your history with like Serena Deeb and Veda Scott and all these other women that you've interviewed?
No.
Does she know about Jazzy? Is she aware of
no,
Jazzy?
No, will you stop?
I love how Matt's like, his me defense in trouble. Is like, listen, I'm not the only one interviewing them.
That's right. There's more than one.
It was perfect.
There's a bunch of us. Leave me alone. New Japan will be doing live English.
Whoa. You didn't get any of my take on this fucking Dynamite show that happened on Saturday.
Because you were like this.
Yeah, you look like you're sleeping, pal.
Give us a take so I can go piss.
Yeah, me too.
Randy Rhodes. Fuck her in her ear. I'm sick of her. 100% sick of her.
You're such a mean guy. Why do you have so much hate in your heart?
But I'm wishing extreme discomfort.
Women go through enough.
She's not good in the ring, and I get what she's trying to do with the little action figures and whatnot and whatever.
Little Bran.
Your fucking husband just got destroyed, and he was pushed off of a fucking stretcher.
Mountain.
If you're gonna cover him up, you can't fucking smile while you're doing it.
She didn't smile, dude. She didn't smile.
She was smiling, dude, and she was looking over her shoulder waiting for Anna Jay to come get her.
She was looking over her shoulder because there were 10 dudes surrounding her.
Protecting your husband. Who gives a shit what's behind you? If you're going to cover him up, cover him the fuck up. Seriously.
What do you want? Tony, T-Donk, Dr. Donk, you missed this diagnosis.
This is fail.
No, you missed this diagnosis. Listen, Dr. Donkosaurus, you missed this diagnosis. It was fine.
Matt, if Rhiannon was covering you up, would you be pissed off if she was smiling?
Yes.
But what? She wasn't smiling. I don't understand where this smile comes from. Where are you seeing this smile? She wasn't smiling.
I don't remember.
Someone's chopping wood in my
episode. I don't recall. I know that the women's tag match was fucking gross. It was awful. They don't deserve to be on Dynamite, especially Brandi Rhodes.
Terrible. Absolutely dog shit.
I'm sorry. Brandi Rhodes doesn't belong in a wrestling ring. Okay? She's fucking garbage.
There's been a lot worse.
Of course there have. But when you're
Cody Rhodes made everybody he fucking wrestled and defended that TNT championship against fucking look like a fool.
Wait. What?
No, wait. Let me fucking talk, dude.
Go for it. I just want to make sure that I heard that right.
How many people did he give a great match to? Scorpio Sky, Warhorse, Eddie Kingston, Sonny Kiss. Everybody he's defended that belt against, He gave him a great match. And then he gets destroyed by the guy that loses to fucking John Moxley in a fucking hard-fought contest in like 4 minutes without getting fuck all in. Come on, dude.
It's perfect.
Perfect? Seriously?
You're comparing Brody Lee to guys that are signed for one-night appearances, other than Scorpio Sky and other than Eddie Kingston, who was signed after the fact. So the comparison, it's apples and oranges. Brody Lee is a guy that they didn't do a great job making him great at first. Did
Brody Lee destroyed by John Moxley?
John Moxley's the world champion.
Okay, and who's Cody Rhodes?
The TNT champion.
You would put Cody Rhodes on a near level of John Moxley?
No, he's probably just as big, if not a bigger star than John Moxley.
So you're seeing my point then?
No, I'm not.
John Moxley handles Brody Lee and fucking Cody, the golden boy, can't get a fucking lick all against him?
How many weeks in between these matches are we talking about here?
Dude, he wrestled people like fucking Warhorse who didn't rate for fucking anything, dude. Come on.
This is the thing with AEW, is that they give a lot of time to matches that don't deserve a lot of time. They give a lot. They make people look stronger who have no chance of actually doing anything, which is tough for them. Like, that's AEW Dark and Dynamite with matches that should be squashes aren't. And that's one of their detriments. But I have no issue at all. And I wasn't the biggest fan of Brody Lee as the Exalted One. Wasn't at all. But I think this was perfect and made sense for me. I don't know. Call me nuts.
Didn't make sense for me. It didn't.
I don't, Tony, to your point, I don't think Moxley destroyed Brody Lee. I think they had a really good match at... he beat him. Hold on. Relax. Relax. He beat him. But look, this is great because Cody ran through all these people with the TNT Championship. Every match, he got more cocky and more confident, where he's doing push-ups, he's flexing, he's being a jerk-off in the middle of the match. He's clearly not taking his opponent seriously. Here comes Brody Lee. Now, let's see the story. I loved it. I love what they did. Brody Lee beat the ever-living piss out of him. He's the biggest opponent Cody's seen as the TNT champion. He's good bigger point. Than Eddie Kingston. Okay, and you weren't going to have Eddie Kingston come in. And in my opinion, I thought it would have been great if Scorpio Sky beat him because you would have had an Insta-star there. But let's see where this goes. There's a lot of, as I say, spoons in the porridge here.
That's right.
Did Arn do his due diligence? Did he do his homework for this match?
No.
Is this where they splinter? Is this where Arn goes with Tully? Because Tully was with the FDR at ringside. Ooh. We haven't seen Tully at ringside with FTR yet. He's been in the crowd taking notes. So does Arn splinter? Is this where maybe we see Cody join forces with FTR and Shawn Spears? Do we get a new Four Horsemen? Does Cody go his own way? There's a lot of stuff that could happen here. Brody Lee dumping the remnants of the old title all over him, I thought was awesome. And
agreed.
I think to Kevin's point, now the Dark Order is legitimized. They're a force to be reckoned with. They're a force in numbers.
You blew my mind. If Arn splinters off and joins Tully, and you have two managers for FTR, you have Arn and Tully managing FTR, blew my mind and could be so awesome. Two managers and they're Arn and Tully? Oh! Woo! Where it's gonna whoosh.
You know, I want to see how it plays out. Does Cody get a rematch at All Out? What's Cody's status? Where are we going with this?
I got a whoosh, Matt. I got a whoosh.
I'm a little bit of an AEW homer, so I give them a little more.
That's right. You're good friends with Tony Khan.
Best buds. Best buds. Guess who's going to be on Dynamite next week? I just got a text. Harry the Dump Tiger.
Is that a fact?
Colin West wasn't quick enough to copyright it and trademark it. Now, Dynamite has a mascot.
Harry dumped.
Tony, I'm with you on Brandi Rhodes. I don't think that tag team match had any business being on TV. I thought it was sloppy.
We were talking about her reaction to being jumped by Cody Rhodes, though, and covering her.
I would have to go back and watch that to see her smirking and smiling. That's what she did. If Tony says that's what she did.
I didn't notice it. I mean, I'm not totally discrediting what Tony said. I don't remember it that way.
Two other important things, then we can move on to New Japan. One, seeing Thunder Rosa was an awesome moment. Awesome.
Good call.
She had the belt on the table. She's standing behind it. And it was the NWA presentation. What do all the NWA champions do when they come out and they're talking to what's-his-nuts at the podium? I can't fucking remember his name. They all put the belt there, right on camera.
Perfect. Nick Aldis, Aaron Stevens, Colt Cabana.
No. Who's the guy off on the right?
Joe Gale.
Not Joe Gale.
David Marquez.
Thank you. David Marquez. Whenever they go over to talk to him, they put the belt on the podium and they talk to him. The other thing that I'm fucking pissed off at, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks have officially turned on me. I don't like them. Kenny Omega's a terrible friend. The fucking Young Bucks think that they're hot shit and they think they're better than the tag titles. And this all fucking came rushing into me as I'm watching this fucking six-man match.
Wow. Hot take Tony.
Fuck them. I hate them all. Really? And on top of that, Cody's supposed to be in the Elite with them? Where the fuck were they? Beat up as well.
He's not in the Elite, though.
Come he on. Is. He mentioned it in a TNT a promo for the TNT Championship that nobody came out to help him from the Elite. Sure. So he is in the Elite.
Well, did he say that nobody came out to help him from the Elite, or did he say no one?
No, he said maybe... I was out here by myself. Where was the Elite? Where was the Natural Nightmare family? That was like way at the beginning of the TNT Championship.
That's what you're saying. He said, "Where were the Elite?" Meaning, he didn't include himself in the Elite.
That's his squad. Where were his posse?
The four of them are fucking four egotistical, maniacal sons of bitches.
Maniacal?
And they each have their own individual ways of showing it. I know what the fucking cupping's all about. Don't think I don't know.
Oh, boy.
He's trying to get all the fucking goodness out of his heart so his fucking evilness comes through. Didn't he try to impale somebody on the folding chair again this week?
He did. The cleaner's coming.
I hope he fucking cleans his ass before he does anything else because he fucking stinks. Hate them all.
The best bout machine is coming. I got news for you. I'm going to spoil a pick. MJF's not beating John Moxley. Kenny Omega is.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's not going to happen at All Out. No, he'll be gone. He'll be out. The cleaner will be running roughshod through AEW.
I like it.
Kevin, to your text earlier, too, I'm sorry I didn't respond. I went to 3 Walmarts today. The Walmart in Cedar Knolls had nothing. The Walmart in Butler and Rockaway both had the displays and only titles.
Butler.
Like the, not like the pegs, but the actual, yes, like the actual topper displays. And the bottom with the UFC and the top.
Yes.
Yeah. I went to, I worked against my better, not against my better judgment, but, did the Russell Pro show on Saturday, which was awesome, by the way. Everything was great. And then I went to the Walmart, the Union in Walmart, the Union in Walmart. That's right, baby. And absolutely nothing. Not only did they not have
the Big Show and
that's right. Mankind and Test.
All hanging out at the Walmart.
No pegs, no display, nothing. No, they had the Masters of the Universe rings and the blue John Cena.
Ah, nice.
Who blew John Cena?
Who flew John Cena?
Who didn't?
Quick note from Impact, Rohit Raju, he's the X Division champion. He beat Chris Bay and TJP in a 3-way dance. Moose beat Trey Miguel and then EC3 stole the fake title. So that's right in your fucking wheelhouse, Tony. Willie Mack was talking about Eric Young and Brian Myers interrupted him, which is going to lead to their match tomorrow night. The Good Brothers beat Ace Austin and Madman Fulton.
Good match.
Kylie Rae beat Taya Valkyrie in a Wrestle House match with Rosemary as the referee, and the Motor City Machine Guns retained against the North. So that's just a quick rundown of Impact. I know we did a lot on Impact with Eric Young, but I just wanted to get that out of the way. New Japan is going to have live English commentary for the show Saturday, August 29th at Summer Sizzle. Evil defends both titles against Naito. Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. take on Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi. Hiromu defends against Taiji Ishimori. Your never openweight champion Shingo wrestles Minoru Suzuki. The Kings of Pro Wrestling finals happen, and Master Wado takes on Kanemura. So yes, those will be the matches we pick. And I'm going to wait until we see the results of the first round of the King of Pro Wrestling that is taking place on the 26th. to find out who the final four are. Kevin, bad news for you.
I heard my boy got hurt. I know exactly where you're going with this.
Gabriel,
I heard he got hurt.
He's out of action, buddy.
Who?
Gabriel Kidd.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's Kevin's guy.
Kevin, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm going to have to retire my finish. Oh, man.
Kenta beat David Finley. He won the briefcase. He is now the winner of the New Japan U.S. Cup. So he has a contract and a briefcase to wrestle the U.S. champion, and he will also defend that briefcase during matches, very similar to the G1 winner.
Brutus briefcase?
No Brutus briefcase. Also on that show, Jay White and Chase Owens wrestled Brody King and Flip Gordon in a fucking sick tag match. If you have New Japan World, I highly recommend that. I know you guys are clamoring to know about these Kings of Pro Wrestling matches, so the fan votes are final.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Give it to me, baby.
Okada, he got his way. It will be 3-on-1. Tony. Toriano, he got his stipulation won. It will be a 2-count. That's how you win the match, 2-count. And Desperado, his stipulation won. There will be no finishers. So Desperado,
I say it was pretty funk on a pole.
Desperado can't use Pinche Loco, and Kojima can't use his lariat. So
Pinche Loco?
Yeah, Pinche Loco. So this takes place Wednesday morning, and then we'll find out who the four are that go into the Summer Sizzle match, and then we'll make those picks.
Summer Struggle?
Summer Struggle.
I thought I heard Summer Struggle earlier.
Summer Struggle. You're right, Kevin. And that's at a baseball stadium, so that'll be fun.
Nice. Global Force Wrestling style.
And that is... Oh, Ring of Honor, real fast.
Whoa!
EC3 was at the tapings this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And they have announced more wrestlers for the Pure Tournament. Kenny King, Dalton Castle, and Russ Taylor will be part. Taylor also wrestled 2 matches in New Japan's Lion Break Collision Series, so... we have 13 of the 16 participants in the Pure title tournament, and that's taking place. I guess they taped it all this weekend, and we'll start to see that on ROH TV in September.
Yeah.
Let's get down to some games, shall we, boys? We want to do some games? Are we down for some games?
Well, do we want to do both games, or are we going to be like doing a show till 11 o'clock?
We're not going to be doing a show till 11 o'clock, you fucking Debbie Downer. Let's get this out of the way. We do this once a week.
And trust me, this is going to be just based on... a little bit of research, mostly memory. So this would be good.
Which is this, your top five or the game?
No, top five is factual. I'm hoping it only goes to... I'm hoping someone sweeps in the Can You Beat That? So let's do that. Because the third is going to be really weird.
Wait, we're doing Can You Beat That first?
Do whatever you want, T-Donk.
No, it's your show, bro.
It's not my show. It's your show.
Top five first.
All right, boys. This is the top five that I did 5 minutes before the show, so it fits. So these are the top five WWE championship wins, title wins, that superstars have done in their first match WWE TV. So the first time you ever saw them on WWE television, they won a championship.
It doesn't have to be the world title. It could be any championship.
I don't think it's been done on the world title. So I think it's any championship.
All right. Tony, do you want a first shot here, guy?
I'm going to say Carlito, Caribbean Cool.
Not as tough for the doctor. Dr. Donk, Donkosaurus Rex, chimes in perfect with number 3. Carlito wins the U.S. championship from John Cena. His first debut.
All right.
Raw television.
I like
that.
I think
it was Raw. Could have been SmackDown.
I'm going to go with Santino Marella.
Woo! You guys are firing on all cylinders. Santino Marella.
Pew, pew, pew.
The greatest Intercontinental Champion of all the times. One in Italy, beating Bobby Lashley. Number 4, Santino Marella.
No, he beat Umaga.
Umaga. Yeah, Bobby Lashley helped him. That's right.
Umaga. And that was in Milan, the Milan Miracle.
Law Miracle. He's from Canada.
Favorite moments ever in pro wrestling.
Wow, that's number 4. So we got 3 and 4. Are we missing some big ones here?
Yeah, they're not that big. Again, this is basically kind of like preference-wise.
I'm going to take a stab at this one. I don't know if this is in Kevin's wheelhouse, but I'm going to say Mike Awesome.
Play some like award music or something. Play some really great music.
Why? Well, you want background music?
No. I'm just saying, because T-Donk, you got number two, man.
Whoa!
Mike Awesome, the invasion angle, comes in the back, Rhino, ladder, boom, hardcore championship. Number two, Mike Awesome, on Raw, right. Circa sometime.
Debut winning a title.
You're not going to get five. One you should get.
Debut, first time on TV, right?
I think, yeah. 99.9.
Uh-oh.
All right. So Kevin,
No, they're all right.
So yeah. Kevin Owens doesn't count, right?
No, because he was NXT and
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking Kevin Owens too. I wasn't sure. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Is the Great Khali on the list?
I don't. Did he do that?
I haven't the fucking slightest idea.
No. He's not on the list. No.
In their debut matches,
one was in a battle royal, and it was the women's championship. The other is the light heavyweight championship, which is also very heavily featured in Can You Top That? So,
well, it's Can You Beat That, first of all, and second of all,
I thought it was Can You Top That?
It's Can You Beat That?
All right.
Just look at the championship belt, Kevin. It'll tell you everything you need to know. Oh, wait, you don't have it. What? Sorry.
There is no belt. Stop being an idiot. It's a game.
Shit, now I lost my train of thought.
I think it was a battle royal. I'll double check on that.
A light heavyweight? I'm going to say Jerry Lynn.
No.
No.
But very good guess.
Oh, fuck. All right, I think I know that one.
If you got it, go for it, Tony, because I have nothing.
I'm sorry?
Christian.
Christian is number five. I actually kind of should have done... This fuck is like kind of like on Christmas, where like you get like a really good present, and then you get the batteries after. Like, I probably should have done Can You Beat That first. Because... All right, so Christian's number five, Santino Morella's number four, Carlito's number three, Mike Awesome's number two, and number one,
we didn't get is
up for grabs.
Paige?
Close, no. Matt. Oh. Paige didn't win the women's championship on her debut, but it's not what I have as number one.
No, but she was the she was NXT women's champion before that, wasn't she?
I don't count that.
But you counted it for fucking Samoa Joe, didn't you?
Kevin Owens.
Samoa Joe's not on the list. Owens.
All right, so it's a woman?
Kevin Owens. Yeah, it's a woman.
AJ Lee.
Another good guess. She did it, but she's not the one.
All right.
I'm going to say... Oh, fuck. What the hell's her name? Gail Kim.
Ring the bell, T-Donk.
Boosh!
Gail Kim, in her first appearance, I think it was a battle royal. I know for a fact she won it on her first debut. I think it was a battle royal that she won and became the women's champion on her first night on Monday Night Raw.
Also, her final match on Monday Night Raw was a battle royal where she threw herself over the top and walked back to the locker room after the bell rang.
Wow.
Attaboy, T-Donk.
Fuck yeah, dude. I actually had a good run this week on this one.
You did. You had a really good run. Good for you.
I think you got Matt, who did you guess?
I got Santino.
That was it?
Wow, I got four out of the five? Look at me. Yeah. It's usually I'm in Matt's seat for that. Usually I only get one, and then I say fuck all to the rest of them.
Saving all my answers for this.
Wait, all right. I got to get a paper and pen, but in the meantime.
Oh, that's a good idea. I should probably write some shit down. All right.
All right, boys. Again, this is hey, guys, this is Can You Beat That? Your interim host for the second week in a row, and this will probably be my last time doing this if I fail again miserably, because I know last time I had a couple answers that were on the list that I didn't direct well. How are you doing today, sir?
I am well, Kevin. Thank you for asking. The music is blaring. I can't really hear you that well because Tony got up and walked away.
Sorry.
It's okay. I feel great. I feel like I'm on a 2-week winning streak. I feel like Kate has no chance against me. I see this as a warm-up against my opponent here, Tony.
Well, no, she'll never be allowed on this podcast again. I'm coming back next week, and I'm playing the game next week. Oh. I'm making that executive call. Oh. I have to.
All right.
And also, I'm terrible at doing this.
All right.
T-Donk, how are you?
I'm doing great. I can't wait to finally get my revenge win on Matt this week.
I don't see that happening.
Did you think I was going to get 4 out of 5 in the other game? I didn't think
All
so.
All right. Fair point. I will defer, and I will let my challenger go first.
All right. Let me give you the old category skis, I guess. They're all based on the light heavyweight / cruiserweight divisions and multiple companies. T-Donk, we'll say, God, I didn't think of names for these. But one has 11 answers, one has 10 answers, and another one has 11 answers. I'll just go out and say the categories. Tony, you're going first. Tony, you could pick between. There have been 11 WWF light heavyweight champions since the resurgence in 1997. Light heavyweight champions. So there's been 11. So there's that. There have been, this has 10 answers, 10 cruiserweight champions, WWE cruiserweight champions, that have held other championships other than the cruiserweight championships. And we're not talking about the current reincarnation. We're talking about WWE circa 2000. So not the 205 Live, none of that. And then there have been 11 WCW cruiserweight champions that never showed up in WWE since winning the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. So those are the three categories. T-Donk, I probably shouldn't have read them all, but T-Donk, which one do you want to go for?
I'm going to go with the first one, the WWF.
All right, so there have been 11 WWF light heavyweight champions. How many can you name? And I'm hoping this is accurate. Again, 99.9. According to Wikipedia.
I'm going to say 4 to start.
T-Donk with 4.
I will say 6.
Shining Wizards Matthew with the 6 spot. Donkalicious.
I'll go 7.
1, 2. Again, this is only from like 97. So this isn't like the traditional, like this isn't going back to like Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid and shit right. Like that.
I'll say 8.
SW Marble Mouth goes 8.
Wow. This is a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be.
Running out of time, T-Donk.
You know what?
There's really no time limit, so whatever. You're the clock, basically.
I'm going to let Matt go with 8.
All right. I have to name 8, right?
That's correct.
And this is starting from when Taka won the tournament.
Matt, you got number 1.
All right.
Taka. So, yes. To answer your question, yes.
I know there's an S.A. Rios running there.
Giddy up. That's 2.
Because we talked about in the top 5, Christian, that was kind of a gimme.
That's right. He was the second light heavyweight champion, believe it or not. I believe.
Because I'm watching 2001, I know Crash Holly lost it to Jerry Lynn, and he was very upset about that. So those two.
I guess that's a double banger right
Crash
there.
Crash Holly so and Jerry Lynn.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're at 5.
Jeff Hardy?
Jeff Hardy is there. That's 6.
How many did I say I could name?
8, I think, right? Was it 8? I think it was 8.
All right. I'm not sure about this one. Scotty Too Hotty.
Scotty Too Hotty's there. That's seven.
I'm going to say for eight, Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko is eight. Matt is up 1-0.
I had two more names on my list.
Who are they?
X-Pac.
X-Pac's there.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilbert.
And Gilbert's there. So, T-Donk, can you get number 11 for no points or no win?
Billy Kidman?
No.
Kidman wasn't, huh?
Who Tajiri.
Tajiri, really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's good that I deferred anyway. I never would have pulled Jeff Hardy or fucking Dean Malenko or Crash Holly. So
now you got me paranoid about. Now you got me paranoid about Kidman. I think he didn't win it till it became the Cruiserweight Champion. Now you got me paranoid though. All right, so Matt, you're up 1-0.
All right,
now the categories are.
Yeah, give me these categories, buddy.
Cruiserweight champions, WWE Cruiserweight champions that have won other championships in WWE. So no but there's no WCW Cruiserweight champions, strictly WWE Cruiserweight champions that have won other championships in WWE. That could be anything. And then the other one is WCW Cruiserweight champions that never made it to WWE after they won the Cruiserweight championship. And this is all according to Wikipedia. Some people may have had Sunday Night Heat dark matches, this and that, whatever. But so you have.
I will take the WCW Cruiserweight champions that never made it to WWE.
After they won. Okay, go for it. There's 11 answers, according to me, again.
I'm going
to
say three.
I'm just going to say I really hate these fucking questions. The WWF one I was okay with. These?
I hate, listen, Tony, I hate giving them. This was, I wanted to keep it all themed up for this, so.
Wow.
Yeah, Billy Kidman was not a light heavyweight championship, unless it was like merged with the cruiserweight. He was not a light heavyweight champ.
Yeah. My timeline is very shaky on that shit.
Again, I hate doing these, so.
So they won the WCW Cruiserweight, and then they went to they didn't go to WWE?
No, they were never seen from again. No. Like, it's a weird, like, they won the cruise, like, a lot, like, guys like Malenko, like he won the Cruiserweight Championship in WCW, but he was in WWE after the fact. A lot of these guys never were. These are Cruiserweight champions in WCW that were never in WWE after.
What about before? Before's fair game?
No, before. I'll let Matt decide that if this will make it more fun. If you want to say they were there before, there's only two on the list that would be there before. So,
I don't give a shit. Whatever makes it easier for T-Donk since he's in the hole.
I don't think it'll help at all.
I'll go four.
Go ahead, buddy. Name them.
I wish if you guys took the other one, it would have been so much better. This is the tough one.
Well, you never know. We might be going to a tiebreaker here.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're not getting any of them.
Actually, wow, you're not getting any of them. Wow.
No, I didn't mean that like a dick. I'm just saying like, this is the tough one. I didn't know this until I looked it up.
Okay, this is going to be a fucking shot in the dark. Let me just see if I can brainstorm other ones. I think I got four. I hope I got four.
And I'll bend the rules if what you guess is not what I, because again, this is really last minute. So go ahead, T-Donk, go.
I'm going to start with Daphne.
Daphne's on there.
Wow.
And Crowbar.
Crowbar's on there.
Oh, he's halfway there.
Fuck me, running sideways. Ugh.
All right, so there's actually 12 answers. Omar's honor, because I forgot that he won it with her and then by himself, and he kind of had a run, but I won't count that run.
And you're not counting people that were in WWE before that?
Not for this list, but there are two that have been on there. And well, three if you count Crowbar.
Well, Crowbar did fuck all as well, but...
Yeah. So I'm counting Crowbar as two. So you have Daphne and Crowbar.
Disco Inferno?
Disco Inferno's on there. That's three.
Yeah, that's three, baby. Three. Now, I just don't know if either one of these two idiots that I have written down here won the Cruiserweight title. No, because he did too. Yeah, fuck. See, this is bad because now I'm getting names. And then these fuckers were so successful in WWE after the fact anyway.
It couldn't be after the fact. That's the point of the list.
I understand. That's why I'm fucking pissed off that I'm brainstorming the wrong people.
Oh.
God, this one name is just jumping out at me, and I just keep saying no.
Follow your heart.
I don't know, man.
Follow my balls. And I can only think of three. This is fucking pathetic.
You have not
It's a tough list, Tom. It's a tough list, Tom.
You've not named one of the three that I've written down.
Wait, what?
You have not named one of the three I've written down. Which makes me...
Honestly, when you said three, I had zero written down. And I'm like, I could do four. Oh, what a fool.
Come on, man. I got faith. I want to get this tie. I want to get to the tiebreaker.
I don't know if you're going to get to the tiebreaker. I think Matt's going to sweep this one. I'm going to... You know what? I just got to pick one. Fuck it.
Come on. Oh,
fuck! Fucking Medusa!
Medusa! It's four!
And I just remembered, wasn't Oklahoma on the list too?
Oklahoma is on the list! Yeah!
You still don't have anybody I have on my list.
Matt, who did you have on your list?
Wait. Before Matt goes, yeah. I had Alex Wright on my list.
I had He's Alex on Wright there. On my list.
Alex Wright was there. How about La Parca?
No.
Okay, La Parca was the one that kept saying no in my head. But all right, I had Alex Wright. But fuck, Medusa, man. And Oklahoma.
I had the inaugural WCW Cruiserweight Champion, Otani.
Otani, yep.
Good call.
And I had Ultimo Dragon.
Ultimo Dragon was in WWE.
I don't know. Did he do anything?
He went there. That was the whole point of the question.
He had one match with NXT, didn't he?
Ultimo Dragon was in WWE for years.
What?
You thinking of Psychosis?
He was at WrestleMania 20 in that Cruiserweight Open.
No.
Ultimo Dragon? Yes.
He wasn't there for years.
At least two.
He wrestled... No.
You're out of your mind. He was at WrestleMania 20. I was there.
He was there for 2003 to 2004. He wrestled at WrestleMania at the Garden.
Yeah, he debuted against Chavo Guerrero. And Billy Kidman was in the audience. And Rey Mysterio was on commentary.
He competed in the U.S. title tournament, beating Jamie Noble, but losing to Eddie Guerrero.
Yep.
He beat Canyon on Heat. Before Vengeance.
They didn't do anything with him.
All right, so who are we missing?
That's a great question.
One of them is an ECW legend.
Candido.
See, that's why I wasn't sure, because Candido won a bunch of tag titles before that.
Before that, but I said after. I thought I made that pretty clear.
I did.
You asked me like six times.
Prince Iaukea?
Prince Iaukea? The artist, as he was known. He was a TV champion as Prince Iaukea. Pretty sure he only won the Cruiserweight title as the artist known as Prince Iaukea.
Yeah, that's all I got. That's the wealth of WCW Cruiserweight championships that I know.
Yeah. Lucky I even put Medusa in Oklahoma out of my ass.
So we have Lenny Lane.
Lenny Lane is the one.
Wow. Okay.
Evan Courageous, who was entangled in that whole Medusa.
Yeah. Okay. I remember thing. I watched that.
And Elix Skipper.
Oh, that's like the end of WCW, isn't it?
Yep. All towards
there.
All right. So what's this main event, Kevin?
Oh. Well, that was going to be the tough one. But now we have WWE Cruiserweight champions that have also won other championships. So who, I guess, who goes? I guess who you guys
when
are
When you say
to,
other championships, is this individual? Is this tag team?
All of them. If you won another championship in WWE, not NXT, if you were a former Cruiserweight champion from the era, this is, I guess, from the mid-2000s, so not the new era, not the 205 Live era. I guess since Invasion, I guess we'll say. So Invasion till it was gotten rid of before brought back for 205 Live. So there's 10 of them that I counted, and I'm pretty sure I'm right. Again, 99.9% sure. Either way, you guys have been doing fine with the list, so it's good. So who goes first?
That's a good question.
I'll go first. I'll say three.
I'll say four.
I'll go five.
Go ahead, Tony.
All right. Five who have won the WWE Cruiserweight and other titles, right?
That's it.
I'll go Chavo Guerrero.
Chavo's on there. That's one.
Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy's on there. That's two.
Tajiri.
Tajiri's on there. That's three. You're acting. I think you know this.
I wrote the wrong guy. Who the fuck is the, what the fuck is his name? Oh, I had the wrong guy. Good thing I fucking thought about it. I think I got the wrong guy. Fuck. How many did I say I could get?
Five.
You said five.
I've got a few names on the short list here, but I'm fucking spacing on them though.
That sounds like your problem there, big guy.
It is my problem because I'm gonna fucking win this one.
Yeah.
Oh shit. And there were 10 possible answers, right?
Correct. Let's see if there's no. It's definitely there's 10. You'll understand my concern afterwards, but I'm 100% positive it's just 10. Ah, this is Tony. These are some. There's some layups here, brother.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Don't assist. Don't assist.
No, nah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. That's my fault.
I've got two written down. I'm trying to see if I can think of another one that's like blatantly obvious. You guys
are doing yourself. We're going to call a clock here soon.
It has been a minute now. Come on now, son.
Oh, God. I don't like that one, but I'm going to keep that one there.
Got to make a move, brother. Right now. Three, two.
Billy Kidman?
Billy Kidman's on there. That's four.
All right.
One attack.
I know.
Huh?
Nope. What?
All right, he's got to get one more.
And I've got two names written down.
Well, you better pick one.
Both of them are on the list.
Hurry up. We gotta move, man. This is unfair to Matt.
Why is it unfair to Matt? He's playing
because with... you're taking an abnormal amount of time. Three. Two.
Really?
I got to, man. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, if you have names written down, let's go. Pull the trigger, bitch. Get him, Nelly. Show him your butthole.
All right. This is it. Tony, come on. We're going to need an answer now.
All right, I'm going to go with Shane Helms.
You got it.
Damn it. All that for that? Come on.
Let me ask you this. Was X-Pac also on the list?
Yep.
Okay, then I would have won.
I had Rey Mysterio on my list.
That's the most easy softball ever, and Tony didn't guess it. Rey Mysterio. Former world champion.
I had Kevin's boy Paul London on my list.
Paul London.
See, I was thinking Paul London as well, but I was not sure at all on that
one. Well, Tony, guess who his first title was with? The name, and I caught myself from saying it. He won the tag team titles with Billy Kidman.
Paul London did, yeah?
Yeah. So I caught myself from saying it. I was like, yep, he won the tag team. And I was like, oh. And the other two names you guys are missed. You guys want to take a stab or no?
Nope.
No clue, bro.
Yeah, Spike Dudley.
He was a Cruiserweight champion, huh?
Yep, and he won the tag team titles with Taz.
Oh, God.
And, of course, the Hardcore Championship, which I didn't even consider. And then Jacqueline was a Cruiserweight champion. And
a women's champion?
Women's champion.
All right.
Yep. So there you go, boys.
All right, so Tony, you see Kevin next week then.
I see him right now. I'm looking at you, K-Dog.
Wow, and you know what? I have leftover topics that I haven't been able to use yet, so...
Well, who's gonna be on the cover of Life magazine?
I've got three questions in the hopper anyway, so whenever I get back to hosting, I've got good ones to go.
Good. This is so stressful.
I might find more difficult ones to annoy Kevin now, since he mocks.
What's that?
I might find more difficult ones now that you mock my questions. We want to send a big thanks to Eric Young at the Eric Young on Twitter, and of course Colin West from Synergy Wrestling at Synergy Wrestle. Big show this weekend, so be sure to check that out. We'll be back next week in episode 496, and we're working on guests, and we're working on having a good time. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Wizards Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. I do a weekly giveaway. All you have to do is retweet our pinned tweet, and it's always our latest episode. We'll be back Thursday night for our AEW Dynamite post-show with my AEW squad. I don't know if you clowns want to do a run-in or maybe be a part of the show. You might be able to work something out, maybe a little peace treaty. Who knows? Yeah, that's it. We're on the road to 500. Keep watching wrestling. Enjoy yourself. We got Payback this weekend. We got Summer Struggle. A lot more wrestling. Impact tomorrow night. Kevin will be live tweeting. Which he's been fucking slaying it. He even did a good job tweeting last night at SummerSlam. So be sure to follow us on social media. I got nothing else. You guys got something you want to say?
Good to go, baby. Yes. At Kevin Garifo on Twitter, at Shining Wizards Kevin on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm the winner. You could follow me at Big Tony Z on the Twitter. And I won.
Yes. Is that your first win, Tony?
Yeah, yes, it is.
I've only played twice. I'm 1-1.
That's right. It's your gimmick. That's right.
All right. We'll be back next week with another rip-roaring episode of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. Until then, watch wrestling, wear masks, stay cool.
Peace.
Yeah. Fuck off.